nut clusters of some kind. It says get nutty, which I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to do. It says get snacking, which I was born to do. But we're gonna save
this. What's this fucking doing?
So that's the drive-through.
I thought he was just like...
He's fucking going for it.
Yeah. Yep.
He's going to crash into the building.
Some heinous shit was going down.
He heard what you said about him on the internet, and he's going to fucking smash this building up so you can never come back.
Oh, God.
I like that you were able to compare skin tone with that gentleman.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Prove that he does not, in fact, need a suntan.
No, he's all good.
He seems to have gotten it together.
No, I think he always had it together.
Yeah.
He knew. He knew what I meant. It's a common thing for people to say.
Next right.
Hey, get out there and enjoy that sun. Get a suntan.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm saying, hey, go enjoy that meal. It's like saying that, like, you need to fucking eat more, you skinny person. It's just Don Reichert editorializing. That's all he does. He tries to get at me.
Yep. That's just how he's decided to live his life. As the antagonist.
Yeah. I kicked his ass in Overwatch yesterday, so I targeted him.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's... We got worked over. We all did. Alex, did you post that picture of you
I
and
did.
Your sweet sunglasses and
I did.
Danny
I alerted,
with his sweet shirt?
I alerted social media that there were some extremely cool dudes
all right.
out here on this i5.
Out here on hashtag the drive.
Yep.
Sorry to everyone for not getting Periscope up. AT&T, not much fans of... What part of town is this?
This is South San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah.
The Southest.
This is Central California, right? That's...
Oh, SenCal.
Yeah, SenCal. Yeah. That's what everyone calls it. Oh, it was his turn to go. You're right. I fucked up. That's, yeah. That lady was right to put her hand up and go, what the fuck are you doing? Because, yeah, that was a stop sign and not a traffic light. This guy is just walking.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's like Qui-Gon Kane. He's walking the earth.
Oh, man.
And he just got to Santanella.
Yeah. So he's done. He made it.
Young man when he started
that walk. That food gave me life. It will also eventually take it from me, but for now it's given me life.
It's like vampirism. Skyrim. It's like good in the moment. Proceed
on. That's actually the big rumor about this rumored Skyrim remastered is that vampirism has been replaced with a Del Taco as part of remastering the game.
And somebody has to pay for it.
Yeah. It's KP skips The Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, instead of collecting Nurn Root, you'll be collecting packets of Quavers.
I would love for that!
Mods, man!
Yeah, right.
It's like, I hear that noise beside the water. It must be a pack of Quavers.
And then Quavers has to then put, microchips in their bags that emit that noise.
Yeah. If you pass the Quavers part of the store, it's just this high-pitched...
Yeah.
Scream and you're going to be like,
I would, that's
teenagers can hear.
If I was marketing Crackdown, I would totally do some kind of food deal and have the food emit the agility orb noise. Like some kind of energy drink, and then put that in the game, replace the agility orbs with fucking monster concentrated energy, and then put a microchip in the cap to that thing so when you turn it, it makes the noise.
I'm so ready for another Crackdown.
Me too. I mean, Crackdown 2 had problems, but...
Yeah. Crackdown 2 was just like a lazy sequel, right? It was pretty flat off the hill.
It seemed like it came together really quickly, and just, it showed, you know? I remember hearing that team had, less than a year to put that thing together.
Really?
Like, it just snapped together really fast.
Peter got a demo of the... sort of world, the evolution, or whatever, the world destruction of Crackdown 3 at Gamescom.
Yeah.
Using that, cloud stuff.
Oh, right,
he
right.
He was super blown away by what he saw.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that stuff comes together.
I hope that game's here.
Right, yeah.
Because it wasn't at the spring showcase that they had a while back, and I was talking to someone who was... doing marketing specifically for Crackdown, and she was on Crackdown, basically.
Right.
in a marketing sense. And she was like, oh yeah, no, we're just, we're not talking about it yet, but I am assigned to that game. I'm like, okay, good.
Right.
Just want to hear that people are still assigned to that game. It is still happening. It is still going to go. But.
And then Quantum Break's headed away. They need to get another big sort of, I don't know, third person action-y, just any Xbox exclusive, I guess.
Yeah.
They've done Gears of War beyond that, right?
Right, right.
Tomb Raider's out of the way.
Well, there's ReCore.
That's right.
Yeah.
ReCore's the one I keep forgetting about.
Scalebound.
That look, God, I was. I think they showed the gameplay actually at Gamescom.
Yeah.
And man, the reaction to that was not super fucking great.
Yeah.
The attitude of that game was just like, you know, weird.
Just like dude with headphones being dude with headphones in like a really shitty way.
It's like Dante was just an even douchier younger version of Dante from the new DMC.
I think that could work. If you handle it right.
Has there been any gameplay of ReCore?
I don't think so.
Just the trailer.
I don't remember what they showed. I don't remember 100% what they showed last year, but. But that looked cool last year, so.
And now Mighty No. 9 is officially out.
Yeah, I saw some copies floated out in the United Arab Emirates.
Really?
Like, yes, like some physical copies of that game.
Kind of leaked. Weird. Weird. And the game's out like in a couple weeks or something, right?
Yeah, it's not too far off.
Great. Yeah.
Peter has a boxed copy of it.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Some good stuff.
Everything about this truck.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm gonna fucking punch it just to get past this truck.
This truck does not seem safe on any level.
I don't want to be near that truck.
That is a ghost truck, is what that thing is.
That's so
that weird. Truck died 10 years ago this day.
Been roaming the earth ever since.
You see somebody with that many scars, it's just like, oh, you've been in fucking fights.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from you.
Yeah, no, that is like... That is some fucking Cactus Jack, Terry Funk-looking fucking truck.
King of the Deathmatch truck.
Yep.
I stopped myself from eating at just the right moment. I ordered... There was more food there I could have gotten into, but... Wisely, I think.
Yeah.
I backed off.
I chose growth.
Smart.
You know, Jeff from 5 years ago might have done that.
I ordered a combo where I thought I was getting one more taco than I actually wanted, and then I ended up with two more tacos than I actually wanted, and I still ate them all.
Yes, no, 5 years ago I would have eaten all of that just to spite the food. It's like, fuck you, food!
Mm-hmm.
I'm better than you.
How dare you?
Mocking me with your taco-ness. Ugh. Yeah, so instead I bought a Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know, old school shit.
Any video game sponsorship on this one?
Yes, that would be, if you could make Code Red, it would definitely be the Skooma. Skooma's a great name.
So good.
For a fucking drug.
Yep. Rolls out the tongue.
Skooma. Come into a village of cat people near you.
Yeah.
Y'all just got skoomed.
We gotta get that Skooma.
The racial, like, undertones of the cat people in Oblivion.
Yeah.
Best things about that universe. Just how everyone fucking hates them, like just.
I like the cat people in those games.
Better than those Gorgorians.
Yeah, right?
Lizard fucks.
Despite these being the obviously the most ugly painted sunglasses I've ever owned for any reason, they're actually pretty good. They do a good job of filtering without just making everything dark.
I was going to say, if you needed a pair of sunglasses, I actually have two here in the car.
No, I have one now.
Okay,
I have this
pair
of sunglasses.
You have a pair now, so...
Yeah, these are my sunglasses now.
Yeah, those are your sunglasses. I look forward to
I paid $12 for these.
Uh-huh. I think these sunglasses I'm wearing were like six. Because the Aeropostale was going out of business or something. It's like, yes, these shitty sunglasses are coming with me.
I bet truckers are pretty discerning when it comes to sunglasses.
You need an anti-glare.
Yeah. Yeah, you want UV filtering. You don't just want to be, like, to darken your perception. Because you need to see what's going out.
Yeah.
What's going on out here on the road.
You gotta be able to read the magazine while still having the sun.
A good pair of sunglasses will ward off white line fever, I'm told. But for only so long.
I actually got a sunburn on my eyeball around this time last year. While driving around sort of San Luis Obispo area.
Mm.
I didn't know I was right. We got back to Oakland. I was in the passenger seat. We drove to Hearst Castle, that's what it was. The sun was like always shining in the side.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next day and I had like a lump on my eyeball.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
What the fuck is going on here? And I went to the optician, like freaking out. And he was like, he couldn't figure it out. I was there for like 30 minutes. He was like doing all these tests. He was like, he didn't know what it was. And then he said, oh, have you been on a boat recently? And I was like, no, but I was on a drive yesterday for about like 8 hours. And he said, oh, I know what it is. And the reason he knows is that it happened to him like 15 years earlier when he was on a boat, because it was just going one direction and
yeah.
The sun was shining
oh, right.
The side the whole time. So yeah, apparently that can happen, so like don't fucking let your eye. It was basically a blister on my eye.
Was it painful or
no, just like
vision problem or
no, but I could feel it like my eyelids rubbing against
oh,
it.
Oh right.
And I couldn't put my contact lenses in.
Yeah. That sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah,
that
fucking scary.
No part of that sounds pleasant.
And there was no, like, he just said stay indoors. And I was like, okay.
I can do that.
Yeah.
For folks in chat asking, we are keeping the iPad near the air conditioning right now, which is why Danny is a little quiet.
They put me in the boot! Help!
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were trying to keep this iPad from catching on fire.
It's probably good now, though. Like, okay. I know it heated up when we were parked, but we're probably okay.
All right.
So
if you
want to...
Like, right around here, if you want to put your drink right there.
Yeah.
And that should all catch.
Okay.
So let us know if that works out okay.
Hashtag Meek Danny. Cows in that truck.
Yep, cow truck. Or it's empty and they're going to get cows.
No, I can see some asses.
Nice.
How was Judges Week? I know you can't talk about what was there.
It was more like a day and a half or so. Which was unfortunate, which was like a little disappointing, I guess I would say, but did not see a ton of games there, just in terms of just straight quantity. It was a lot of events centered around one game instead of full lineups.
Does that mean that EA and Activision couldn't be there? Like, did ESA run Judges Week as well?
No, I don't think they have anything to do with that stuff. That's all run outside of the ESA, I think.
Is it like an informal
thing
almost?
I think it's like Keeley kind of runs it now, but
oh, really?
it was people before he kind of, like, he did not start it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a more informal, like, critics awards kind of thing. And it's just kind of gone on for years at this point.
Mm-hmm. Keeley runs the show.
That's right.
Runs it all.
What does Jeff do, like, 10 months of the year?
Hangs out with Martin Garrix? I don't know. It's a lot of Instagram photos of him backstage at EDM shows. As far as I can tell.
It's like Mel Kiper at ESPN. Like, you know, you see him for about 1 month leading up to the NFL draft. The rest of the time, he's on the ground. You know, he's doing the work. He's getting things together for his time in the sun.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, and he does this is like his second year doing YouTube. The Game Awards are coming back.
Yeah.
And also he is helping or constructing or producing a, like, kids game awards.
Oh,
with, I want to say Nickelodeon or something. No, maybe it wasn't Nickelodeon, but there was some, he had some announcement recently that he was doing, like, a kids games awards show.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's kind of moved on to those kind of, like, bigger projects. Like, now that, you know, there's no game trailers around anymore.
Right.
No game trailers television show on Spike or anything. Like, he's kind of, seems like he's transitioned into these kind of larger things.
It's going to be really weird when Call of Duty wins those awards, but hey, what are you going to do?
The Kids Awards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
The Kids Awards will be like best game you watched on YouTube.
It's Minecraft again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite streamer, Captain Sparkles.
Damn it. Did I lose favorite streamer again? To Captain fucking Sparkles?
Trending streamer.
Oh.
Who's going to win that this year? Who's the trendiest gamer you know?
I don't know. Maybe I'll nominate myself again and see how it goes. Oh, I nominated myself as a joke and then ended up on the ballot.
So good.
That can't
happen again.
I don't know if that's why it happened or what. I don't know anything about, because I don't know how anyone else voted. It's possible someone else voted for me, but I doubt it.
I voted for you.
Damn it.
Bernie Sanders in this year. So at least he can win.
Yes,
something.
Bernie Sanders is the trending gamer of 2016.
He's played something.
Yeah.
He's probably played some Clash of Clans or something.
Cart life. A lot of cart life. Miles an hour.
Yeah.
What's stopping you?
You know, it's there's always cops. There's always just enough.
Radar plane.
Yeah. Getting a speeding ticket driving to E3 in 2007 was enough to kind of...
To put you off.
Yeah.
So I've never gotten a ticket on the I-5 despite driving some speeds that would not be considered legal.
Raise an eyebrow.
But anytime I do the drive from L.A. to San Francisco on the 101, I invariably get pulled over, even if I'm not driving that fast.
Yeah. Do you drive a fucking Ferrari F40 or something?
No.
Yeah.
No, I got that Subaru. That thing will open up. It's got that turbo.
You have a license plate that says something about cops?
Tragically, no. No, my old pickup truck used to be kind of a magnet for cops, because it just had a bunch of band stickers on the back of it, which basically just screamed, "Hey, this guy's running drugs!"
this guy is high right now. Mm-hmm. You should probably just pull him over. Back of this pickup truck, guaranteed, just full of weed.
Yep.
Oh, drums? Yeah, open those drum cases. What's in those drums?
That's actually literally what happened.
Really?
I was on tour. It was me and it was Nick Malgieri in the truck. And we looked like dirtbags. The truck looked like dirtbag truck. So cop made us pull all the equipment out so he could look through it. He didn't make us like open up the drum heads or anything.
Yeah.
I think he just needed to sufficiently understand that there were actual real instruments in there.
Right.
I think you should have, I mean, you could have legally said, fuck you.
But we had no drugs, so I kind of just didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, that's fine. Like, this is the one time I don't have any, like, illegal booze in here, so by all means, take a look.
You ever worried, though, that you just left one, you left something there?
No, I was pretty meticulous about that stuff. Like, you know, if we had leftover booze from hotel room nights or whatever, I would say, that goes in the other car, don't put that in mine.
Yeah.
Because I shouldn't have this anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Nick got a Grammy?
Yes, he did. He ran the soundboard on some sort of live record that got a Grammy. So, by virtue of that, he got a Grammy.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Grammy Award winning Nick Malgeri.
Does that mean for like every album that wins a Grammy, like 30 people get a Grammy?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, probably.
They were involved in the production and recording of a song that gets a Grammy or an album.
Right. Probably have to like pay for your Grammy or something.
Yeah, I wonder if like if there's like a below the line Grammy fee or something.
Or do you just get like a certificate that says, technically you have a Grammy, we just didn't give you a statue.
Yeah, if you want the statue, give us $2,000. I would absolutely probably, if that was the Grammy fee, I would probably pay the Grammy fee. Like, yes, send me a Grammy. Send me my Grammy. So I can put it somewhere and go, hey, look at that, huh? Huh? Yeah, right? What's going on behind us? Looking back there.
Just looking.
Okay.
Every once in a while, this thing on your mirror lights up.
That just, when we're alongside a car, it means it's not safe to get into the other lane.
Gotcha. That's a handy thing.
Yeah.
What is the onboard software on this car like?
It's not, it's advanced, but not fantastic. Like, it's, the interface is really terrible. Like, it just feels like it was, like, built in Japan for people that don't understand how humans drive cars. And then hastily, like, put into English or something. It's a little rough. Like, it I guess there was a problem recently. Some Lexuses were taking a firmware update over the air that was making them crash.
What?
Like, the air conditioning and the nav system and all this other stuff would just get caught in a reboot loop or something.
Oh, not making the car
crash. No, not making the car actually crash. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's good.
Crazy.
But that is possible in some cars, like remotely hijacking their 4G connection and doing stuff to the car. Like, how about full brakes? Here you go. Like, their hackers have proved that in, like, not necessarily in the wild, but in, like, control
like
settings.
Video or something where they did it. Yeah. That would be the next Hitman.
I mean, I would assume that would be in Watch Dogs in some way.
Right.
Like, if they're really going to try to tear from the headlines, like, that's something that is feasible.
Apparently, you can hack every car in the game.
Okay, well, there you go. So, yeah.
And you can, like, use it to, like, reverse into people and shit.
Yep. Of course you can.
And the cranes as well. Mm. And SOMO, apparently.
Mm.
Hack the Golden Gate Bridge.
Can I hack signs to make them say dumb shit from the internet, like in the first one?
Oh, God, yeah. There is a video of him putting up, like, a proper normal billboard with like some meme shit on it.
Yeah, it's just gonna be fucking nothing but PayPays.
I bet Kappa will be in it.
Ugh. God.
Apparently Bushman is in it. He was in the trailer. You know that dude on the by Pier 39 who hides behind bushes?
Oh, sure.
Oh, that dude. Yeah.
Alright. Yeah.
Maybe Rat Lady will be in it.
Frank Chu be in that game.
Now they couldn't get the rights. Mm-hmm. Too expensive. At some point in that game, you should just run into Willie Brown in a bar.
Yeah.
The last game that like did San Francisco in a big way?
Driver.
Yeah. And San Andreas had their version of it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That Driver game was alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was two. The first one had it, and then the San Francisco one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprisingly fun game. It was a really dumb mechanic.
Yeah. And like the story justification for it was equally stupid.
Yeah.
It was great.
Remember in the old Driver game? First one, you drive across the Golden Gate Bridge, and there was just like a random out on the other side.
Yeah.
To come back.
That sounds about right.
Congratulations.
You.
We knew we needed to put the bridge in here, but when it came to the other side, we were like, fuck. Like, no. We can't.
I remember going across the Golden Gate Bridge for the first time, and just not even thinking about it, but then being on the other side, being like, oh, there's not, like, a right about it, like...
It's like stuff up here. Weird.
Yeah.
I could not get into those first driver games.
Oh, really?
They weren't that great.
I just didn't like the way they handled. Like, people definitely loved them, but man, I just...
And the first one had a certain novelty to it, which I can sort of appreciate, but like, as that series kind of wore on, I just never really got back into it.
Yeah. Didn't get good until Driver 3. Oh, that fucking game.
God. Driver 3? Yeah, shit.
Right.
Open world crime game type thing.
Yeah. That game was... shit.
I remember hearing a lot of exasperated noises out of you while you were playing that one for review.
Yeah.
Just like, I can't believe this is what this is.
And then they made one after that that was like... And then they made a game after that that was like Driver set in the 70s.
Yes.
And it was like the same landmass, I want to say, but just the 70s or something. I forget what it was, but it's...
Parallel lines.
It was like some of it was set in current day or whatever, and then some of it was set in the 70s.
That's
two parallel lines.
That plucked out of a part of my brain I haven't accessed.
Yeah.
And it started with a P, but I kept wanting to say Proving Ground. I was like, no, that's Tony Hawk.
There's a whole segment of games that were released between like 2004 and 2009 that have just been lost to time.
They exist,
but like, who in the hell remembers any of them?
Yes, there's just a certain class of game that went out of fashion after that time.
But they kept getting produced. And
Front Lines, Fuel of War.
God.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, just tons and tons of licensed wreck. Seeing that Spawn game on the Point of View list just got me thinking back for the last couple of hours about other games of that ilk like, just came and went.
It's been the interesting thing about that Demo Derby series is that sometimes we get into... Like, the last one we did was an Xbox 360 disc, and it had some fucking... some stuff on it that just made me angry.
Yeah.
Like, Madballs in Babbo Invasion, the XBLA fucking Madballs game.
Fuck.
It just sucked so fucking much. Oh, it was so goddamn bad.
Man, so much of that early XBLA stuff. You'll forget that it took a while for that marketplace to, like, kind of establish itself as something worthwhile.
Started strong, got rough here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Summer of Arcade became a reliable thing.
Yep.
It ended shitty as well, though.
Oh, yeah, God, it's ended the worst.
The
and then, like, because eventually, like, the PlayStation stuff actually got good, because for a long time, their marketplace was just total dog shit.
Yep.
There are some absolute putrid games on the PS4 downloadable store. Stuff you're like, how the fuck is this here?
That's the thing, when they decide to let anyone publish, like, self-publishing opens the door for self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is...
I mean, the good news is there's enough decent stuff on there to where that stuff doesn't feel like it's bogging the whole thing down, but still.
When I look at it from the new releases view, that's just like, here's everything, it does feel bogged down some weeks. Where it's just like, here are four games that originated as iOS games that are now on your PS4 for too much money, and, like, just real rough stuff. But, I don't know, like, it's fine, it's cool that those stores have evolved to the point, or that console development has evolved to a point where anyone can do that, but...
Yeah.
But, man... The Xbox One's the same way. You just dig through there, you're like, man...
So is the Wii U, actually. The eShop is full of... It's, like, a surprising amount of new games go up in it every week, and, like, just... shovelware
all
over the place. Or like Minecraft clones. They're like,
Oh, right.
Have just a Minecraft logo in their title. You're like, Nintendo don't even look at this shit.
The answer is no, of course they didn't.
Yeah, I wonder if they're ever gonna like get it together on that front, like for like next time out. Like if the NX will have like some additional push to get quality third-party games, or if they're just kind of done, or if they've just kind of accepted it, or if it'll be another like half-hearted attempt, and it'll be like, oh, we've got EA out here with the only games they'll ever ship on this platform. When they're actually going to do NX stuff.
Bring back Space World.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be cool.
You weren't even in the car when we were talking about it.
No.
No, that's right. I guess, yeah, that's right. He was not here.
There was a Space World car. I'd never heard of Space World. Or maybe I had, but never associated with Nintendo, because what the fuck is Space
World? Were they still doing Space World when I got to GameSpot? When did they stop?
I don't know.
I think I might have come in.
It might have been early 2000s.
Because I came in 2003. And I think that might have been right around the time they stopped.
Yeah, that's probably. That sounds right.
Because I don't remember those guys ever going. I remember them going out for TGS. I don't remember anyone ever going out for Space World.
Yeah.
Space World is just such a good name that is totally inappropriate for a Nintendo focused show, but it's such a good name for a convention.
Galaxy is the only Nintendo thing I can think of that even remarkably touches space.
Yeah.
Oh, Star Fox.
Yeah. Pikmin.
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, right.
Metroid, actually. Oh, also, yeah. we're just... So, basically, all of them, actually, all the Nintendo franchises.
Yeah. And the new Legend of Zelda, as we're about to find out in the next couple days, by the way, is now set completely in space.
Extended first-person space sequences in Zelda. So hot right now.
It's just Tingle with the word follow written over his head, and you just run after him and shoot people with sword magic for about 4 hours. But the multiplayer is awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I just wonder if they'll have their own event, if it would be something like Space World or something they would just have here, like here, hey, we're having our NX event here. Or if they try to do something around TGS.
I mean, I feel like the timing, if the rumors of them holding back production bear out, it wouldn't be until late this year at the earliest we would hear something.
If they're talking about shipping in March, then they're...
It sounds like they might not be, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't committed to anything, and...
I want to say they committed to March.
I don't remember if they actually did or not,
like,
or if that was
just
in
conjunction with Zelda. Talking about not talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, part of their, like, financial-oriented stuff was like... Like, yo, this thing will be out in March. Which, you know, there's nothing to say that they have to stick to that.
Yeah.
If the shit's not ready, but...
Fuck it, put that shit out in July. Just throw everything askew.
We're gonna get there tomorrow. Or we're gonna get there today, and they're gonna be like, it's in stores right now.
Well, so you were covering E3 when that happened with the Saturn, right?
Yeah. Well, I was there. I wasn't necessarily covering it. Like,
right.
I wasn't working anywhere that year. I was like, I think I just lost my magazine job and didn't have anything else, but still went to E3 and just kind of hung out.
96?
It's 95, 4 or 5.
I think we said 5.
Yeah, 5.
Oh, was it the first
Saturn year? Yeah, first or second, yeah.
Were you guys surprised at all by the PlayStation 4.5 stuff being held back?
No, not really. I think that they've got so much VR stuff to get to talk about that they need to have kind of a clear lane for that. And when they, if they start talking about the Neo stuff, a lot of people will link it in their minds that they need a Neo to play VR stuff, which is 100% not the case. So I think just it's already such a hard thing to message that trying to message that while trying to sell VR is probably just too complicated.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense for them to actually not do it here. But acknowledging it is smart. Like, at least saying, like, hey, this is something we will share more about in the down the road, which I expect they'll reiterate in the press conference somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Is probably smart. And maybe, you know, they probably have a little bit of leeway in terms of, like, how much they say, depending on what Microsoft does.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of that stuff gets just set in stone, and where they're just like, whatever, but I bet they... I would not be shocked if they gave themselves a little bit of wiggle room on how much they want to say about that specific thing. That would kind of depend on how far Microsoft goes or doesn't go. It's the benefit of them going last.
Yeah. Time at Crispy Gamer.
What? Is this before games?
No, this is after. This is like the 6 months I was freelancing before I went to Harmonix.
Yeah, everyone made a bunch of money off of Crispy Gamer there for a bit. I think Brad wrote for him for a while.
And then I also was writing for GameTap when Giancarlo was there.
God, Giancarlo's worked everywhere.
Yep.
Giancarlo.
He's shut down a lot of businesses.
He has.
I'm surprised GameSpot is still standing.
Fuck, man. Ubisoft. Watch out.
Yeah. He's the Vivendi mole.
Yeah. Hostile takeover by one Giancarlo.
Well, we don't have anyone named Giancarlo here, so I don't know who this leak is attributed. I don't know what this is about. Yeah, that was a weird time when everyone was kind of between stuff for a little bit there.
Yep. Yeah, that whole first year after your exit was just... Yeah, it all felt very... Like, everything kind of felt untethered for a while there.
Yep.
When did you... Alex, you didn't... If I remember, like, it felt like you left pretty soon after. It was like a month.
It was a couple months.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Did you know what you were doing, though? Did you leave just to fucking leave?
I left to leave.
Wow, fair play.
Yeah, like, I lined up a couple of freelance things just in the interim. I was going at that Harmonix job, but, like, that was, like, 6 months of interviewing and kind of figuring out, like, what was actually going to happen there. And so that was never a guarantee.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, I mean, like, at the time, like, I was starting to form plans and stuff like that, and I think if you hadn't been going after that Harmonix thing... Like, I would have probably come for you.
Yeah, you asked, and I said, I want to see what happens with this thing.
Because I remember, like, I remember just, like, some car rides throughout 07 where you very specifically were like, dude, I'm fucking done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the grind of that place had sort of gotten to me even before the unpleasantness.
And I remember just saying, like, just stick it out for one more holiday season, and then if you still need to get out of here, like, at least you won't be leaving me hanging on the review stuff.
And I had not made any particular plans at that point. Like, I was feeling out opportunities, but I was not, like, set to go until that time. And then once that happened, it just sort of became a question of when.
Right.
it was really kind of fun sitting on the outside of all that and getting multiple reports about the details of every single meeting.
Yep.
If it wasn't directly from someone who was at the company, it was going up on ValleyWag. Because someone was sending the details of the meetings to ValleyWag, which was a Gawker site.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
And so there was this, like, saga of fucking what was happening inside that place as people were yelling at management in meetings. And I would just hear about it and just go like, yeah, that's what they get, I guess. I don't know.
I still don't know who actually did that.
I think I know who.
Okay.
But I don't actually know for sure.
Yeah. I was never able to get a confirmation.
Like, I don't know who told Penny Arcade. Yeah. Like, I didn't tell anybody. Like, maybe I should have. Maybe I should have been a little more out there. Like, hey, yeah, let's kickstart this thing and get things going. Because, you know, all of it ended up working out to my benefit in a weird way. But I just didn't... I wasn't thinking that way at the time. I was just like, I've got some drinking to catch up on, I guess.
Yeah, other than you, I wasn't really talking to anyone outside of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You smuggled me that debug.
I did.
So I could play Burnout Paradise. Fucking chunk of time
was some weird meetings.
Yeah, real,
some real ill-conceived meetings.
Yeah, and then just like a lot of really like touchy conversations outside of that stuff, like as we were kind of getting stuff together, and it was like, okay, well, every single person at this company is ex-CNET, and including the founder of CNET.
Right.
It would be a little... And he was, at the time, the biggest shareholder of CNET still.
Really?
Yeah. So the idea of, like, poaching people from there would have started some shit.
Right.
So the conversations around, like, building that team were very... low-key, shall
yes.
we say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you started to get into weird legal... stuff like that.
I don't know that it would have been legal. It would have just been like, this would be a real bad look.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, there weren't like non-competes or anything.
Like,
involved.
It could have gotten hostile in a way that it just didn't need to. But whatever. Like, you know, people were fucking dying to get out of that place at that point. So, it was not hard. At one point, they decided they were going to start having going-away parties inside the building so that I could not go to them.
That's fucking dark. Jesus Christ.
But the people that were leaving just said, like, no, I'm going to go to this bar. So if people want to actually have a going-away party for me, this is where I'll be. So
presumably the people who didn't want to be at the same party as you were not the people that the people having the going-away party wanted to be.
Yeah, as it turned out.
I don't even remember if I had a going away thing. I think I might have just been like, I don't really care. I'm just, I'm done. So, you know, yeah, if I want to go have a drink or something afterward, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't want any part of this.
And I kept getting invited. So it was just like a thing where, like, I wasn't necessarily like trying to go to like start shit and just be like the asshole in the corner laughing about it or anything.
But, yeah.
But like, oftentimes the people leaving or somebody would be like, hey, it's Thursday night, you should come out. I'm like, alright, I mean, I can't really drink because I have to drive all the way to San Francisco and all the way back, but sure,
I'll hang out,
I'll come see everybody. I don't have anything to fucking do.
It's spare time. Jeez, what was the turnaround time then between like the quit and I guess like when did Arrow pointing down start and when the giant bomb like launched? Because it all seems such a tiny time frame in my memory.
It was like November 07 was when I was out of there, and then the site was launching in July 08.
That's pretty fucking fast.
It was. Because Airboating Down you started doing in, like, December, January, right?
Yeah. And we started doing that when we more or less had the plan of, okay, here's where we're going, here's where the money's coming from, like, right. This is...
Well, I guess that would actually have to have been February, because Ryan left after I did, and I left in mid-January, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because you started up Airplane Down almost immediately after he left.
Right. Yes. But yeah, that was, I mean, there was that night that everyone came up to my house.
Right.
And we, like, played Rock Band and whatever.
And drank a lot.
Yeah. And Aaron Thomas defaced that copy of Kane and Lynch in a way that I still am not okay with. That copy of that game did a lot for me in the long run.
You said that's Sony?
Yeah, I think so. And then that was, like, Dave Snyder came out for that.
That's right.
That was when he and I started talking. And, like, I was talking to a handful of other people,
mm-hmm.
but that was the one that made the most sense. And then it was a weird thing where I did an IGN podcast. I did an IGN podcast the day that Burnout Paradise came out, because I remember I left there and went to the store to buy Burnout Paradise.
Wait, did you not review Burnout Paradise?
I did.
Oh, right, okay.
That was my last review.
Really?
For the site.
I reviewed it for jeffgerstmann.net.
How many Gerstmans did you give it?
I believe it was 5.
Out of a possible 20.
Yeah. And on that podcast, like, you know, like, they asked, like, so what are you up to? And I said, oh, you know, like, I'm talking to some old friends about some stuff. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, we'll see where it all goes. Like, nothing was really set in stone at that point.
Yeah.
But, like, it started this rumor that then I was going to go do something with Vince Brody.
Right.
Like the rumor started going around that, like, he and I were linking back up to do something. Which was totally not ever the case.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I actually spoke directly to Vince. Like, I talked to him through someone at one point, just to say hello or something, but, like, at no point was that the thing. But one of the guys that I was talking to about maybe starting something, like, caught one of those rumors and just wrote this, like, really, like, abrasive, like, really pissed off emails. Like, I can't believe you would go and do this after we were talking, and I was in good faith. And I was like, fuck, dude, like... I am still talking to multiple people, but if this is how you're going to, like, I kind of just like, yeah. All right, well, that's that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not going to believe me or whatever, and if that's the way you're going to behave also, like, I don't know if I want to work for you.
Yeah.
So whatever. But it was just a weird thing where, like, this rumor totally destroyed this set of conversations. It was real weird. It's a real weird time.
Ooh, yeah,
good stuff. Good lane changes, smart moves.
Just great driving all around.
Yeah. Tailgating, not a concern. This 4Runner, you should see the brakes on it. That thing could stop so well. You can just ride the ass of somebody, no problem.
Bakersfield! Let's go check in on John Davis. Fieldy, the rest of the crew.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like some of that out of there, but, well, you know, maybe we can just go check and make sure.
I bet Monkey is still there.
Yeah. Were we just talking about corn the other day? You and me? You were talking about satellite radio and the grunge station and corn.
Yeah,
and
like
on
the grunge
no
station
reason.
Sometimes plays corn to me.
No.
But
new corn or old corn?
Old corn.
Yeah.
But
is there new corn?
Oh, there's new corn.
Why is there new corn?
Well, they're like new, like past that album, past the dubstep album they did. Did they do anything after that, or was that kind of it?
That might have been.
Is they getting into crab core now?
Big time.
They had like expensive looking music videos on that.
I mean, you know, those guys probably made their money. They could probably afford to make a music video or get someone to pay for a music video, I guess.
They are theoretically still on a label somewhere.
I just want another album from Fieldy.
Another Fieldy's Dreams?
Yeah, Fieldy's Dreams 2.
Just him slapping his fucking loose-ass bass strings for 2 hours.
Yeah, but this one's all reggaeton.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
why not? Bring that back.
Was Fieldy's Dreams like a rap album?
It's a rap album. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And what a rap album
it is.
What
a rap album it is.
I've never heard it. Well, I always stopped at Fieldy's Dreams. It just felt like it was...
Of course you have this at the ready.
I can stream this...
It's on fucking Spotify?
From... I mean, it's probably on Spotify, but...
Go under artist Fieldy.
No, it's just a cover version of that. Yeah. They couldn't get the real one.
Acapella.
Bunch of scamsters trying to get you to listen to their stuff.
Is that still a regular problem on streaming sites?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a new one I've come across now where they misspell popular song titles. Yeah, it's fucking really ridiculous.
This is why I will not get into the monthly streaming stuff.
I bet Siri knows what Fieldy's Dreams is.
Well, it's not directly on my phone. It's sitting on my machine at home.
Oh my god. Nobody has ever gone to such lengths to listen to this album.
And arguably, no one should.
Oh yeah, no one should listen to this album.
Should bust out Terry B after this.
That might actually just be on my phone.
I heard that.
Terry Bradshaw?
No. No, Terry B, the rap artist.
Whoa.
Alright, I'm just going to push play here, and we're going to see what happens.
Get some dreams up in here.
Oh, I need to turn my Bluetooth back on. This is just coming out of the phone.
Oh god!
Oh my god!
Jesus!
Yeah! Bump this shit!
Are these gunshots?
Yes, of course!
This is really loud! This is how you know a dude is hard. He's got gunshots for beats. Black on black, escalate Cadillac, 64 rag, find a girlfriend that I've already shagged. It's nice to have a choice, Corniche Rolls Royce, you beat up deuce, 10 switches and bag, 20-inch crystals on my jag. White paint, new chucks for the bitches, Jimmy Sag. Don't get mad, cause I'm a pimp that deep. Rolling in my caddy, pulling up to the club, smoking on a fatty. Roll out the red rug for Mr. Mac Dad, walking into the club. I'm Vincent dropping black, all these bitches on my dick in the VIP lounge. Bitches are pimps, so I'm buying another round. Round them up quick, I'm flossing like a pimp. Baby, you have, that's my name. Corn brings a porn and a nigga with the fame. Baby, you have, that's my name. Baby, you have, also. So what is it, just like a, is it like a baby in a Hugh Hefner, like, smoking jacket?
It's
is
like
that
baby
a...
Huey, but Hugh Hefner.
Okay. Playing bass, don't hate cause you can't relate. I'm counting my money all the way to the bank. I get everything I want and everything I see. I'm a pimp, my blood, just like Jay-Z. I might be just like Jay-Z.
He's making Jay-Z and Dr. Dre already.
Yeah.
All his homies.
It's a good way to ensure that your rap album is not judged harshly is to immediately compare yourself to much better rappers.
I didn't know he was the king of hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew.
Oh, yeah.
This is like astonishingly bad.
Yeah.
It's fucking...
It goes on like this.
It's a full album of this.
Yeah.
It's like when, like, rich people's kids want to record albums.
Yeah, kind of. This is a Rebecca Black situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Let's move to the next track. Maybe
all these parents are like, okay, honey, you can make your rap album.
This one's called Rock and Roll Gangster.
Okay.
I'm
going to
hang on.
Yeah. Does it get hot?
It'll lock on its own, I guess, at some points. Maybe you can just set it down.
It's got a different sound to the first song.
Yeah. He's got a versatility.
That was an interlude.
Oh, that was just an interlude? Oh. Okay, all right. Sorry.
This was called Are You, letter U, talking to me.
Nice.
Alone at home, laying in my bed, hearing voices in my head. Leave me alone, I can't cope with this pain. Do you feel insane? Do you crave cocaine? Nope, there's other dope Xanax value. I get 10 and speed. I'd rather smoke weed. I'm the best in the rest, no stress. Sticks, steel, seeds. Fulfilling my needs, feel these dreams. Searching for some weed. Ain't never gonna stop till the day that I drop. Driving like it's hot at 12 o'clock. Wanna drive, meet me at our current spot. Hell yeah, you're the best treat I ever bought. This couldn't be a sin. Gotta go. Don't leave me again. From Mother Earth, I grow like green and pure.
This is what rap from Bakersfield should sound like.
Then I'ma stay high till the day that I die.
You know you're right.
Till the grin. How could I lie? Smoking on the ganja, smoke when I wanna. You need pretty leaf, help me find one. My marijuana sauna, hot box mama, sweet queen leaf.
He sounds a bit like Weird Al. Yeah, you know, you're right, kinda does.
Smoke on the ganja, smoke when I wanna. Marijuana mama, wanna put his dreams. I'm in love with marijuana. Can these dreams come true?
I think this dude likes weed.
Nope.
Do
rap what you choice. Know, man.
When you answer your phone before me, you want the shit, now you dial a joke. Anytime, any place, I'll smoke a toke in your face till I croak. Ain't no joke, I get big as you win. Do you love the way I taste? I'm the queen of the crop, blow me and drop. I'm that bitch you love, and I'm only a bud. Black coming, your fat sweet tooth, and the color straight is.
Alright, next track.
This was called Just For Now.
I think it's on shuffle, so we might be listening to this out of order, for which I apologize.
Yeah, I'm really not getting the authentic experience. You just got a Miitomo notification.
I need to uninstall that fucking thing.
Me too.
The chat wondering if this is better or worse than ICP.
Worse. Way worse.
Way worse.
Way worse.
ICP at least has a coherent aesthetic.
Materialistic shit makes me sick.
And they're better rappers. They're both better rappers.
It's just for now. Does it sound funny? You're white.
There are members of the larger psychopathic records family that are far better rappers than this.
Yeah.
Like Weird Satellite. There's more to Hatchet Runners.
Find it in yourself and start giving. It'll come back to you.
You didn't feel he was like asking every album, like, oh, please let me sing on this one.
Yeah, let me just do like a rap interlude, like the guy from Linkin Park. Come on. It works for them. Like, we can totally do it. I know you kind of rap when you yell anyway, but like, let me do it. Let me kind of do it. Oh, this happened.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get him in for the chorus for this one.
You can't break me, take from me, but you ain't got me. This legend is pure.
Multiple members of Korn contributing to this fucking. Wasn't just Fieldy out on his own just going like, I'm doing this, fuck you guys, I'm totally gonna do it.
No way to get him to shut up.
Like, they, yeah.
I need your help.
Can you come in and just sing a hook on this one? Come on, dog. We're dogs, dog.
It is true. We are dogs. You're right. I'll come on your album.
Like, say what you will about the Insane Clown Posse, and there's a lot you can say.
Much.
They. Generally speaking, rap on beat. They write rhymes that are rhymes.
Yes.
And they, yes, there's a cohesive aesthetic to it, as opposed to this where it's like the rhythm is all wrong.
The rhymes barely work.
Yeah. It's. It's like an album put out by someone who built their own studio and then didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Semi-pro tools.
Yeah. Alright, let's move on.
What's this one called?
You Saved Me.
Y-O-U or just you?
Y-O-U.
Y-O-U.
Hey, Philly, what's up, dude?
What the fuck are these sounds? This sounds like Muppets pretending to do a rap chorus.
I think this song might also be about me. Smoking drugs.
Oh. The reefer.
I think that's what saved him.
I think I've heard four songs with insane.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of like, Be Real was my inspiration, and by that I mean I just lifted a bunch of lines from him and tried to kind of vaguely sound like him.
I don't think Fieldy's had much in the way of life experience.
Whatever, man, he's been on the road with Korn. That's as real as it gets.
It's just an album of songs about smoking weed and slapping a bass that's...
Monkey Rage.
Well, what if monkeys in this one?
This might just be an instrumental interlude. I don't know.
I think Fieldy might be playing drums on this.
No, the drums are really good, though.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was the interlude.
Download his mess.
This is like a bad Castlevania soundtrack. This is how we do. It's all about me, not you. Gotta get mine and your friends too. Oh, right. This came out around the time when everyone was doing that weird sped up rap thing. Creep on it, but don't beat on it, then speak on it, pass it down to my crew. Chucky Busta Rhymes. I knew he already hit the booty. He told me it was broken. Just treat it like shit, let the lick your dick, suck on these nuts, and split.
I think Joe Pesci's a better rapper.
Oh god, I forgot about that. Yo, son, let's hop on my road. Breezy, take the wheel, dog, so we got my eyes bleeding. Gotta go, gotta show. I see you in the front row. I make all y'all to go. I'll be packing up all the hoes like a big ass buffet to go. Put away, Jonas. She's the most wanted. She's a freak, but a freak. Jake Seed is a better rapper. Put away, Jonas. She's a freak. Randy Savage is a better rapper.
Yep.
God rest his soul. Ron Jeremy is a better rapper.
Yep, Freak of the Week. Ron Jeremy and DJ Polo.
The song is literally called Child Vigilante. What the fuck does that mean? To get going. Sun goes down,
out come the freaks. Totally worth it once you get there, though, right? Creep in your house and I'll piss on your couch. Tag all your walls to the heads of your daughter's dogs. If you catch back, it's a must. Then I'll wipe my ass with your favorite toothbrush. Erase all the numbers on your cellie phone. On my way out to the pit of your home. Shit in a bag, light it on fire. You open the door, there's a bag on fire. Stomp out the flames, dookie on your feet. It's all fun.
Just rhyme bitch with bitch.
Like yes, he did.
Yeah, I think it's not the first time in that song that he has rhymed the same word with the same word.
This track is called Corn Giggle Box. I bet this is another interlude. Also appears to us. The stream, I think we may have broken the stream with Fieldy's dreams.
Well,
might as well just try skipping to the next one.
Yeah. Nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah.
I think we need an action.
Boy, that is separate.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to get to the rest of Fieldy's dreams. Just this year.
There's so much more.
Yeah.
Goodness. Well, Danny, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to be as bad as
a Korn fan.
Yes. As somebody who would perhaps have a pretty low watermark for what to expect, that was really terrible. I mean, I'm no rap connoisseur.
That don't sell yourself short.
It sounded like some... like a fucking college student just, like, threw together something. Zombo.
It sounded like something that like would get done as a joke while someone was high.
Yes.
Like for a long stretch of time.
And in reality, I think that is exactly what happened, except Feely didn't know he was joking.
Well, I mean, it got put out. Like, at some point, the thing is, like, at some point, that was released and sold as an album.
Yes.
And that's the part where you're like, how, you know?
Someone pressed physical copies of that.
Like, no one stepped in at any point in that process and said, like, hey, like, we don't believe in this project. It's like, it's gonna actually, like, make money? We don't think this is a good idea. Or maybe they were the opposite, and they were just like, great, if we can, like, you know, get, like, 20% of Korn fans to pick this up.
That's money.
Then it'll be money for us, so whatever.
I mean, I obviously spent nothing on the production, so...
Yeah.
I bet a bunch of people did pick it up and did like it. Like, I can see a bunch of... There is, like, a decent amount of Korn fans. Speaking as a Korn fan...
Uh-huh.
There are a decent amount of Korn fans that know fucking nothing about music.
Sure, yeah, I'd buy that.
I've been to enough Korn gigs to know that some people like Korn have no fucking taste.
How many Korn shows would you say you have been to?
Two.
Okay. I went to one. I went to one of the tours they did where it was like them, Rammstein, Ice Cube, and a couple of other bands from that general thing. And I only stayed for Rammstein and Ice Cube, and I left as soon as Korn started.
Nice. Wait, Rammstein and Ice Cube were supporting Korn?
Yes, they were the headlining act. Ice Cube was second. It was second.
Yeah, it was like Korn's tour, and that's what they brought with them, right? Yeah, it was that time period where, like, Ice Cube played at, like, fucking, what the fuck?
The Final Level Tour.
What is the fucking festival? The original one that Perry Farrell started.
Oh, Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza, yeah.
Perry Farrell started that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's still involved with the current Lollapalooza, which is just a multi-day festival in Chicago now.
Are any of his bands still around?
Jane's Addiction toured some years back. I don't know if they're gonna do that again or not. But yeah, they did get back together for a little bit.
They made some okay songs?
Yeah. Yeah, those first two Jane's Addiction records are alright.
What about Porno for Pyros?
Never really got into it.
Huh.
I'm ashamed to say.
First ever gig was a Korn gig.
Really?
14 years old in Dublin. There was a lot of skinheads beating each other up. It was intimidating.
Is that just something that, like, anytime anything with any aggression behind it happens in that part?
Yeah.
In Ireland, is that the crowd? It's automatically going to attract, like, whether it's a soccer game or a concert or church, you know, it's like whatever.
I mean, especially music, because we were so far off the beaten path, because it's not even like England. Like, some people, like, bands went to England. Like, getting to Ireland is such a fucking annoying thing to do from England. Like, flying equipment.
Like, do bands play outside of Dublin much?
Like, never. Okay. Ever, ever, ever. So we'd have to go to Dublin for... I mean, when I was growing up, Dublin was the only place where we could buy hoodies. Like, we used to, like, take the bus to Dublin to get, like, skateboards and hoodies.
Mm, huh.
And then eventually, like, they started selling them in my hometown, like, years later. But, like, it's like, I don't know if people live outside of Dublin. But then, even then, like, most bands don't come to Dublin because it's, like, just not worth their time to, you know, ship all this stuff over. And, like, when they could go to, like, Manchester or Glasgow or Newcastle. So, yeah, whenever they came, like, you had fans of the band, but then you just have, like, general metalheads would go to any gig that came.
Yeah.
Like, System of a Down came and fucking everyone went, you know.
So we had the weird distinction of having the Phoenix Theater in Petaluma, which at that time was running a lot of shows for, like, decent mid-sized bands.
I went there once.
Yeah, so, like, the first show, the first big show I ever went there was Green Day, I think in, like, early 94, and it was, like, right before Dookie blew up.
They're locals, right?
Yeah, from Berkeley. So,
like, Green Day played my high school.
Yeah.
Right. At one point, before they got, you know, famous.
Yeah, and the show was, like literally 2 months before Longview was on MTV, and they essentially became far too big to ever play that venue again.
Yeah. So did
the big bands play there? Well,
yeah, because they play San Francisco, and then they might have time before they go to Seattle or before they go to Sacramento or L.A. or something. So,
like, I saw No Doubt play support for the Dance Hall Crashers there, like, again, like, 3 months before Just a Girl blew up.
I was going to say, like, I remember that show because I remember it seemed like every single person in every single local band or everyone that was around the Phoenix had their story about how they hung out with Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
While she was in Petaluma.
She hung out with like 300 people.
Exactly. They all followed her around.
So 3% of those stories might be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like here's my Gwen Stefani story. Because I got to hang out at the Phoenix and I was allowed backstage because I was one of those miscreants. Yeah. I saw her for 5 seconds backstage. There's my story of hanging out with her.
That's pretty good. But I remember, like, hearing, like Dominic wanted to, like, he was just, like, hanging around all day.
Yes.
Just in case.
Yes.
I feel like even at that point, like, everyone knew that they were about to be the fucking, like, super huge.
Yeah, right? They had just hit 120 minutes, so, like, regular rotation was pretty close. Yeah, it was very clear, like, that was the one and only time they were going to play that venue.
Yeah. Did you go to that Sublime show? Were you at that Sublime
show? I was at two of the three Sublime shows. I was at the one before the last one, and I was at the last one.
So you saw the last two Sublime shows?
Yes. Yeah. I saw the one... Yeah, so the second show was the one with Wesley Willis.
Ah, okay.
That was the time Wesley Willis actually headbutted me.
I remember wanting, like, thinking about going to that show because I wanted to see Wesley Willis, and just being like, but I really don't want to go to a Sublime show.
That's fair. yeah, Wesley Willis wandered to the concessions counter when I was working there and asked me some questions about the Mystic.
Okay.
The Mystic Theater is the more adult contemporary theater in town.
Right.
Like, you know, the band Cracker comes through there every once in a while. But yeah, so I explained what I knew of it, and then he's like, thank you very much, and then he reached out to grab my head and press it to his, which I did not know that was a thing he did, because I was like 14, I had no idea what was going on, but I did it anyway, and he was very gentle. It was very nice. But yeah, I was also at that last Sublime show.
I saw a real big fish there.
Yep.
2 years ago with Dan Moore.
I saw them during the time when Real Big Fish was popular.
Yeah, they probably would have played in a place like that.
Yeah, they headlined that show. I went to that They Might Be Giants show.
Yeah,
no one went to.
They lost some money on that show.
Oh, did they ever.
Oh, really?
It was on a weird night. And as much as that crowd would generally show up for a lot of big bands, regardless as to what they were, They Might Be Giants did not fall under that category. So people did. It was like 200 actual They Might Be Giants fans, and that was about it.
Yeah. Didn't Skillet open for them?
Yeah. No, Skillet opened for The Rentals.
Right.
Which
is
another show they lost money on.
Yes. Just thinking about Glenn's amazing booking decisions.
Yep.
I don't know. I like The Rentals.
Yeah. No, that was a good show, too.
Yeah.
Just no one went.
Yeah. And then Insane Clown Posse was supposed to play there, but because not enough tickets were sold, they got off the bus, or like, someone, one of their guys got off the bus, looked in the crowd, and then suddenly it was like, oh, Violent J is too sick to play.
No.
They're not going to play.
They straight up pulled that.
They pulled that shit. And it was just like, oh, fuck you. Like, I remember, like, Tom got on stage and fucking, like, basically said exactly what had happened. Because they had to refund the people who did show up.
Shit. And it wasn't like, it wasn't empty. Like, there was probably about 500 people there, I would say. Definitely not sold out, but it wasn't, like, empty.
Which for, like, West Coast ICP shows, like, was probably pretty good. Because it wasn't the Midwest. It wasn't, like, at the, you know, like, now I think they probably do better out here than they used to. Because they've built the cult. But then, like, it just wasn't happening.
Well, so the one time I saw them on the West Coast was at some divey bar in, like, San Jose.
Mm.
And it was, like, me and Glenn went, and, like, Justin Brucher was there separately.
Of course.
And it was, like, a 200-person venue. And it was sold out, and it was, you know, but it was, like, it was, like, you were right up on the stage. There was no avoiding the Faygo kind of thing.
Yeah. was I there with you for that?
You might have been.
I think, because I saw them live, and I remember going with... I think
it was you, me, and Glenn.
I think that's exactly what it was. And that's where I, like, at the end of that, I was like, well,
you know, these guys are probably never going to play out here again on account of they're just not a draw on the West Coast. And I think this is really stupid in a fun way. So, yes, I'm going to give you $200 for a great Malenko hockey jersey.
Yes.
And I still have that, which is, I still think that's kind of funny, but
yeah.
Less so. Less so because of what they became in the years that followed.
But, sure.
Yeah, there was that, and I remember, like, driving some, like, I remember, like, going to see, like, House of Pain in, like, Sacramento or something. Like, some faraway show that, for some reason, blends into the ICP show.
Yeah. I think I saw Gwar no less than 4 times at the Phoenix over the years.
Yeah, yeah, they were there a lot. I remember standing in the back at a lot of Gwar shows.
Yep.
Where are they from?
East Coast somewhere, yeah. I think. I want to say, like, New Jersey or something. I actually don't remember.
Is it Burn?
What's that?
A Burn.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, the last time I went and saw a big band. It might have been that Crystal Method show.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was just sitting up in the balcony and watching that, and just going, like, man, I'm glad I'm not down there where all those people are.
Ryan was down there with all those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show was great because it was one of a few dates they're doing before their actual tour launched. So it was them working out the kinks of their
right, yeah.
So they had no real banter. Every once in a while they would just stop in the middle of, you know, the pre-programmed set and be like, Petaluma, how you doing?
Yeah.
Who's ready to rock? And then just fucking go back into like 3 songs of pre-programmed shit.
But the thing is, I bet that's exactly what they did on their quote-unquote real
sure,
tour also.
Sure, sure. It just very much felt like they were fucking around.
Yeah.
I think the last show I went to that was big there was Deftones came through at some point.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah. Because they're from Sacramento.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Deftones played there.
A couple of times.
I'm going to see tickets, see them in Berkeley next month. Mm.
I was going to go see them in Brooklyn, but they're in some, like, big amphitheater, and the tickets were just, like, a little outside the, like, I don't want to go sit down in a big theater and watch this range. So I'll catch them next time.
I just don't know what, like, what bands I would actually go see.
Damn it.
Right.
Well, you know, Afro Man just played at the Phoenix
right.
this past week.
Yeah, that's true.
Could have gone and seen that. That's about the level that is usually coming through there these days, it seems like.
There's now a wrestling federation that runs there pretty regularly as, like, Phoenix Pro Wrestling.
Yes, I know one of the people who books that.
Yeah, and that's super crazy to me. Like, I kind of want to go see that.
I would as well.
This reminds me of that time that You Know My Name played as, like, between, like, while in, like, behind a wrestling ring there. And then we all jumped in the wrestling ring, and the wrestlers came out and were super pissed that we were jumping in their ring.
Yep.
Like, get out, fuck! And Chris just up on the turnbuckle playing bass.
The gig place in my hometown, like, we never got any big bands at all. But we did get I think I told you before, the Irish Whip Wrestling went through there, which is the Irish Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
And they won Seamus O'Shaughnessy. I saw a fight there.
Ah, yes.
Who would later become WWE champion. And none of us even, like, bothered to, like, care about him because Raven was there. Fucking Raven.
Raven.
He fought in a like, Doors shirt. Like, years later when I saw that movie, I was like, oh, yeah, that's fucking... This guy with his fucked up head. And
as far as I can tell, that dude makes his money just doing shoot interviews every 3 months about just talking shit about whoever they ask him about.
Yeah. It's just like he's always there with oh, fuck that guy.
Yes.
I have a really good like instant camera photograph of me and my buddy Dale wearing Raven shirts with Raven wearing a Doors shirt.
God. God.
Looking like total dirtbags. Seamus O'Shaughnessy was speaking of pale people, was like, even back then, was, and he didn't have any, just like this young looking, red haired, pale dude. And yeah. Then it was him and Raven in a tag team against 2 other guys I've never heard of before.
Was there much of like a local band scene around there?
Yeah, loads. My town is like massive music and theater stuff, so. But like, lots of like,
hawked sort of like punk and pop punk and pop rock
sure.
sort of shit when I was growing up, as you'd imagine, like everywhere in the world.
Yeah, like the North Bay had a pretty decent local punk scene, ska scene, that stuff in the 90s, but it has mostly died out in recent years, as far as I can tell. Like, I don't even know what local bands there are anymore.
Yeah, like, at some point, I think both of us would probably be too old to know.
Yeah.
But I just don't...
But even just, like, when I drive by and I see, like, the Phoenix Marquee, it just, like, it doesn't seem like there's much.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot going on. Which is a bummer.
Yeah. Because even if a lot of those bands were bad, they knew how to bring in a crowd, and they usually were fun.
Yeah. For as much as I kind of, like, begrudgingly was in a band while I was in a band,
yeah,
it was still, like, kind of fun to hang out around all that.
Totally.
Like, bad bands, you know, get better, too.
Sure. Like, or they don't.
Yeah, or they very much don't. And they're still playing in Petaluma.
Is Lance Schizo still around
Probably.
Somewhere?
Probably. I think 26 Miles Per Hour is still a band.
Wait, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think so. I'm not sure about right now, right this second.
Sure.
But, like, more recent than you might expect.
Fair enough.
They put out recorded material.
Okay.
Maybe 5 years ago.
They still those Nostalgia Fest things?
Yeah.
Over there?
Yeah, yeah.
Just wondering, like, at what point do you start running out of bands to have for those?
Nostalgia Fest. That's just a bunch of people that wish they were 20 years younger.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's about right. They do once a year at the Phoenix a show of, like, a bunch of random bands that either were local or at least toured through there on a regular basis.
Was it 4 years ago that we played that thing?
Yeah, it was 2012.
Yeah.
It was, like, us, it was Punch the Clown. God, who else was on that?
I think I've seen video.
Was Edeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of other bands.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of video of that. I'm not sure.
Floating around.
Yeah,
it's all recently.
Yeah, Fobwashed.
That's what I was saying.
Passed a clip of that around recently.
That's good shit. You guys were legit.
I mean, we created things that were song-like.
Sure.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
We were able to...
I would say there was enough energy and stage presence.
Sure.
For you to get away with it. Like a lot of like,
and that was very much a show where like none of us were feeling too self-conscious about anything, so we just like kind of fucking lean into it.
And by that time, I had spent so much time on a stage doing dumb video game shit that like, which the band stuff made the video game shit easier.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what the public access television shit made the band shit easier.
Yes.
Which made the video game shit easier, which then in turn
made the band made shit, the band shit easier.
When did you do public access television?
Like when I was in high school.
All right. Talking about games or
nah. Just whatever the fuck. We had a half hour to fill with garbage.
Yeah.
And we filled it with garbage.
Yeah. Just weird comedy ideas.
Like yes, half like not even half formed. Like, half a sentence of a thought of something that, if you spent some time on it, could be something funny, but, it's just shit, whatever. And then cut it into total trash. Or not cut it at all.
Yeah.
Just have it run super long, which is always funny.
All right, guys, I'm going to check in on the Euro results.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I can't. No service.
I have one bar of LTE.
Maybe the internet will probably let me know.
Yes, chat, let us know.
Did England win? Did they lose against Russia and now their fans are rioting again?
Yeah, you're part of Russia now, unfortunately.
Or are the Russian fans rioting?
That's just what happens when you lose.
Yep.
One all. Is it one all? Tied. What about Wales? Did Wales win? That's all I want to know.
Will they be rioting in Cardiff tonight?
It says 1-1, also riots. Wales won 2-1. Good stuff. Take that, Slovakia or Slovenia or whatever the fuck it was.
So wait, which thing is this?
This is basically the World Cup, but just Europe.
Okay, so the Euro Cup.
Yes.
Okay.
European Championships. The Euros
is the Eurovision of soccer.
Yes. Ooh. Exactly.
Do people dress up all fun?
I mean, in the stands.
Oh.
Yeah, they've all got their vuvuzelas.
It sounded, I saw it earlier, it looked like the trailer for the new Don't Nod game had gotten out there, but that appeared to be it as far as I could tell. Oh man, I'm on Edge Network. That's, I haven't even seen that icon in a good long while.
Welcome to the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. Here are some power lines. Fuck off.
Power lines and crops and signs complaining about water.
The Congress created Dust Bowl. ...163 miles to Los Angeles.
I have no idea where we are.
Yeah. We're in that stretch where it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Even if you want to find out, the answer is still just keep going this way.
Yep.
Until you see something. How far away are we from that Indian restaurant that promises all the vegan stuff?
I don't know. I actually don't know where that is along here.
It's on the left side. It's on this side of the road.
Okay.
And it's just, they have a painted roof that just says, that I think it might just say vegan.
Weird. That's probably the only fucking vegan place.
Yeah. Yeah.
200 miles. That's a lot of power lines.
Gotta get that power from one place to another, man.
Yeah, he's gonna carry this very serious power. What is your first thing, Danny? Are you, like, on anything tomorrow for those press conferences?
Yeah, okay. So Bethesda and... what's the other one?
Tomorrow is EA.
Yeah, yeah, two of those. We're hosting pre and post show. Pre-show analysis, post-show analysis, pre-show rumors, I guess. Yeah, two of those. What time are they on? Because I got to squeeze in the Canadian Grand Prix in the morning as well.
I think, I want to say EA starts at like 1.
Fuck, it might be cutting close. Yeah, so those. Then Tuesday... doing Sony, I'm not doing Ubisoft, I'm doing Microsoft, and then I'm doing Ubisoft with my Keighley stage for like 10 minutes or something. But I can't wear black or white or stripes or a video game branded shirt. I'm very serious about that.
So that eliminates all wardrobe options for the games journalist.
Yeah, totally.
I guess actually all that would be left is the plaid long sleeve.
Right.
Oh, the uniform.
Yes.
It's a good thing I have one blue Beastcast shirt. Big pink letters on it.
You know, get that brand out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I probably can't wear it either, kind of. Goddamn.
I think, technically, since that's your brand, you probably...
It's not my brand, just
well,
your
I mean,
brand.
You are part of the family of
yes.
brands.
Yes. Okay. So I can wear my Chow shirt, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
My Urban Baby hoodie.
Uh-huh. Actually, I don't know. I think sometimes they do that because they have sold sponsorships to other people,
yeah.
and they don't want any competing logos on their shit. And then sometimes it's more of a, we don't have the rights to show this.
Yeah.
which is not a
mosaic. This.
Yeah. You should just tell them to blur the shirt.
Yeah.
Blur the Beastcast logo.
That's right.
Make everyone think it's way worse.
Yep.
Yeah. It's worse than you could possibly imagine what's going on over here.
Tuesday morning, I'm really excited about it, though. I got a bunch of, like, fun interviews.
Mm.
I've got, in the morning, I've got Zampella, Todd Howard, and somebody else. I guess Pazinski, although that might be Wednesday.
Mm.
There's a good morning there of, like, oh, I've got David Cage coming on Wednesday. That's
okay.
Thing. I mean, I don't have any of those people coming to my stage. I don't know what you're talking about.
Just giving away all the secrets. All
right. Yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward. Like, between Todd Howard's, it's like, Bethesda! Question mark, question mark.
Oh, right, yeah.
Whatever they're showing. I'm with you guys on the... Is this this week's podcast about that, like, leaked...
The leaked lineup.
Games. Yeah, like, that seems like... I hope that's not just it.
Yeah.
That seems like if you were going to bring up a... Like, make up a list of games, like, that is all you would do.
Yeah, like, if I was making a fake E3 list to, like, try to fool people on the internet...
Which is the thing
people
do.
Within 2 would be something I would write on that list.
Totally.
As the thing that you would look at and go, get this up. But I don't know, maybe that game sold? Or maybe that's just, they bought that studio and now they're like, well, we gotta make them, let them make a second
game. We've
already
generated all these assets, just make some more of them and grosser.
I mean, I guess the Skyrim one?
The HD remaster.
That's on, at this point that's showed up on enough different, like, retail sites and stuff that I think that this is probably actually the year for that to be real.
If they released that and announced that alongside, like, hey, we're working on a new, I guess, do you think that, like, they did the whole Fallout 4, like, reveal and launch within 4 months thing, that they'll stick to that for everything else?
Not everything else, but
like, Todd Howard's team stuff, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I think it depends on what they've got. I think it depends on, like, with this being the first thing that they were shipping on these platforms, it probably makes sense for them to, like, really work on it until they feel like it's ready. But if they were to, like, say, have a new IP or something next, like, you know, they put this Skyrim stuff out, but then the next thing from them is something new.
Right.
Then it might make sense for them to, like, announce that earlier because they've got more to say about it being a new thing. Whereas if they were to turn around and make another Elder Scrolls game, then yeah, totally. You would turn that around in 4 months or something like that. That kind of sells itself. But with the amount of time they keep spending on Elder Scrolls Online content, that seems like something that would get in the way of them just rolling into another Elder Scrolls game in the near term.
Do we know what the subscriber numbers for that thing are?
No.
It's free to play now.
Well, I know it's free to play. I'm just wondering how many people are actually playing it. Because, I mean, if they're continuing on, I have to imagine that there's at least enough of an audience to justify
they've
that.
Been continuing to add content to that game and selling it.
Yeah.
It seemed like Tamriel Unlimited was, like, popular.
It seemed like that shift worked out well for them. Like, I don't know. I didn't think that game was great when it shipped, but,
If
you're not paying $60 for it, then that's a better opportunity.
Do you see? I didn't realize all the WoW expansions are free now.
Yeah.
Do you see that shit? Somebody was showing me during the week.
Huh.
Or maybe it's only if you buy the new one. I don't know. I don't think so, though. I think people were saying if you are a subscriber now, you get all that stuff.
Hmm.
They just straight, like, throw it all in.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, at this point, you know, they're about trying to retain the subscribers and just keep people in the game at all, let alone get them to buy new content and stuff, so I guess I can see that.
I would be super surprised about it if Prey 2 is announced, or it just seems like that's getting, like, into, like, farce.
Yeah.
Like, situation now.
I mean, it's one of those great rumors that just refuses to die.
Yeah.
And
it's so perfect because that's what Prey was.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a series of rumors and restarts,
right,
and
yeah,
passing it around from studio to studio. So, like, you know, the stuff happened with Human Head, and then now if, you know, like, whatever, one of the Arcane teams is working on it or something, which was the...
That was the last rumor,
the,
yeah,
the last thing from a while back now.
Because we know they have Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
So, but there is that other team. So it would make sense if all that stuff bore out. But that said, also...
And I guess, like, so I had been wondering about that game Battlecry that they showed off.
Yeah.
Where they literally have Battlecry Studios making a game called Battlecry.
Yeah.
But I guess some of that crew worked on Doom.
Oh, right.
Like, some of Battlecry did some stuff on Doom, apparently, so...
Also, the last communiques on Battlecry's social media are from June 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, like, around the last E3, so...
Yeah, there was a report a couple of months back about them saying that they had, like... No plans to talk about it in the near future, but it wasn't cancelled necessarily.
Oh, really? Okay.
Man, they had, like, the fucking art director of Half-Life 2 working on that game. Like,
yep.
That was, like, a... They built a decent team of people around that. It's never, like...
Yeah, I just, I, you know, like, from what I played of it, it just...
Yeah, it was, like, fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I think, like, now, like, that game then was fine, and that game now, in the wake of...
Like, Overwatch.
Like, what, you know, like, people trying to, yeah, Overwatch, people trying to cash in on MOBA shooter stuff, and, like, how, like, a lot of that stuff has changed. That game, as it was then, I think would double, triple, quadruple, not fly now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I just wonder if anyone's ever going to say anything about Fortnite ever again.
Right. Still in alpha, right?
Or beta, or something. Beta. One of those
things.
Yeah,
they've been signing people up under NDA, like, for a long time now, I think.
Kind of, like, just all of what Unreal are doing, or Epic are doing, that is, like...
Yeah.
Like, even the Unreal Tournament stuff, like, they launched a trailer 3 weeks ago, which was like, look at our sick map! It was, like, a kind of a cool trailer, but, like, I jump in there every couple of weeks, and it's still...
Yeah.
It's, like, a solid enough Unreal Tournament game. But that's it. Like, they don't seem to be really trying to do anything with it.
Right.
Like, or Fortnite.
And I just don't know how you... You know, a game like Unreal Tournament, like, you need to drive people to that game in droves,
yeah,
all at once, and, like, just having this build of it out there that's constantly getting updated, you log in and there are 9 people playing or something, you know,
right,
there's just not a huge player base, so I just don't know, you know, maybe when it's, like, done, quote-unquote,
yeah,
then they put some marketing muscle into it to try to get the numbers, try to get people aware of it and all that other kind of traditional kind of marketing stuff, but it's just such a weird way to go. I kind of feel the same way about Paragon.
Yeah.
But that seems like it's doing well for them.
And that seems like it will actually come out.
Right. I mean, they are going, I think they're going open beta in August or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. They talked about a bunch of changes they're making to the game and mentioned that they were going to come out of... Like, right now, it's like, if you pay them money, you will get into the closed beta.
Right.
There's a pre-order beta.
And
you
then,
buy the $60 version.
Yeah, right. And then it actually came out on fucking disc, like, last week, which is, like, absurd.
$60, and you get $60 worth of in-game currency.
Yeah. Great.
Thanks. They actually have one. They do have one that says Best Value, and it's, like, $200.
Of course it is, yeah.
Literally says, though, on the box, Best Value.
It's the dismal tide.
I know people that are, like, pretty into Paragon.
Yeah.
And I could not get into it when it first kind of started rolling out, and then, like, I read through the changes they're making about, like, you know, it's like they're reducing the sprint, they're getting the sprint out of the game.
Oh, really?
And replacing it with, like, a teleport, so you can teleport to any point that you control.
Right.
On a cooldown, so it'll help you to kind of cycle to areas where you're needed. But I guess the sprint was too fast, so it was making it too easy to get around the map and be everywhere all at once.
Hmm.
which I want that whole game to be way faster than it is. So the hearing them going like, "Ah, it's a little too speedy," I'm like, "All right, yeah, okay." I don't.
You have something very different in mind.
That's okay. You are going to continue to make a MOBA, and I am going to continue to be over here.
I had a real hard time trying to judge distance in that game.
Yeah.
All the projectiles obviously have a limit, like MOBAs do, but from behind them instead of like isometric, you can. I don't know. I played for like a couple of hours and still had trouble like figuring out if any of my shots were hitting anyone.
Yeah, I have never touched Paragon, so I have very little opinion of it other than what I've like watched. And I don't know. Like, it seems like there's something to it, but I'm not sure I'm ever going to bring myself to play that.
Yeah. It seems like well made and well considered for what they're trying to do.
Right.
I guess, you know, like, that's... Like, I'm left with the impression that they are doing a good job, they're just not making a game that I want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tom McLeod slept here.
What?
What?
According to that sign.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
Slept right there on that sign.
We've got 100 miles of gas and 144 miles to drive.
That sounds like getting some gas right before the grapevine.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Hopefully it's not on fire this year.
Yeah.
I hope it is.
Yeah, let's make this suddenly a 20-hour drive.
Yeah.
God, that year that I got stuck driving back and got caught behind fire.
Oh, really?
Was the worst. Yeah, I...
Less than ideal.
I drove Brad to Anaheim after E3 to go to some fucking StarCraft thing. And because the Portillo's is down there and I wanted to get some food. So I went to Portillo's and got some food for the road. I ate there and then I think I got some to go also. And then the time it took me to drive down and back and get back to basically where, you know, downtown LA, kind of start heading home for real, a fire had broken out around Grapevine. And it took me basically 16 hours or something to get to Coalinga.
God.
And I stopped at Coalinga and stayed the night. And I was coming down with a cold the whole time. So I stayed at this Motel 6 and, like... The room had a microwave in it and a 4x3 tube TV. And I just put on baseball on that thing and heated up those Portillo's sandwiches in that shitty microwave.
And you lived.
And I lived. And I came, and I sat in this shitty motel room, coming down with a cold harder and harder by the moment. But I woke up feeling a lot better.
That's good.
Just drove home. So we were like, "All right, it'll be fine."
Keely has posted a picture of the Doritos arcade stage with just the caption, "The Vatican under construction." Yo, that is a big fucking Doritos arcade stage, dude.
I heard it was 6 stories high.
Look at what that fucking thing. Here, I'm just going to put this in your peripheral there. Hashtag Mix Arcade. Jesus Christ.
It's a quality tweet. It's a quality tweet on Jeff Keighley. It's a good bit of business.
Jeff Keighley feels like he's getting a little more knowingly funny recently, and I appreciate that. Maybe he just ceased to give a shit. I don't know.
He ceased to give a shit when he did that fucking Konami blast that the game was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I can think of no target safer to put in your crosshairs at that point than Konami.
No, man, that's the Yakuza, you fucking...
they don't care. They have bigger fish to fry, bigger fingers to cut off.
Just don't go to their health clubs.
No.
After that bit. Did you see the... Was it Peace Walker?
Pachinko
machine?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's great. That's exactly what they should be doing. Burning it all down. Exploiting their intellectual property as only they can.
I was surprised that here they even had a meeting room at the show.
I bet they're still making soccer.
Well, they are still making soccer, yeah.
I just wonder. Winningest of 11s.
I just honestly wonder if they even need to get that game in front of people anymore.
They probably have limited retail meetings or something like that to go like, hey, this is still a soccer game that people want to play. You should buy it for your Walmart.
Is it?
I don't know.
Somewhere.
Is it?
Is it?
Like, mainland Europe seems to like it. FIFA is, like, dominant in the UK and Ireland, but over here, but... Yeah, whenever you go to, like, Germany or France, it always seems to be way more pro-am fan base.
So, like, there was definitely a period where the Winning 11 games were, like, way better than FIFA.
Yeah, like, good 5 years there.
Yeah, I remember that era, but then I kind of fell off and stopped paying attention. It seemed like FIFA actually got good.
Yeah, it was, like, between, like, 2004 and 2009... like the quality ones, and then at the same time the pro-F games kind of got a bit complacent, and then EA basically dragged over the creators of Championship Manager and Football Manager.
Okay.
And then a bunch of other people from, I think it was LMA or some other soccer game, they brought them to Canada to that studio, and then they hired a bunch of people, and then over the course of like 2 years, it was FIFA 08 was their first, I think, and that was okay. And if FIFA 9 was like, oh, this is a fucking really good FIFA, and if FIFA 10 was like, fucking done, like, game over.
Yeah.
They, like, turned the tide again.
I wonder if they'll ever do that with basketball. I wonder if they'll ever actually get it together.
Not with the current people making that thing, it seems like, because they just seem lost.
What about the Hoop God?
Not a real person. I stand by that.
But...
The Hoop God?
The Hoop God.
He's got 2,000 Twitter followers, man. It's a real person.
Okay.
That was the fucking weirdest thing ever.
Yes, some might say ill-conceived.
I mean, Pele was weird, but...
Well, Pele will show up anywhere for, like, $20 in gas money.
You see his name 3 times into a mirror.
Yeah. He shows up to hawk whatever product you have.
2,700 minutes until Star Wars Battlefront.
Pele will hawk your... product, but you have to give him at least 20 minutes stage time.
Yeah.
That's how it goes down.
So he can tell you a nice story about his life.
Yeah, tell me about Jocko Benito.
I found it hard to believe that was even happening as it was happening, and until you just mentioned it, like, I had forgotten all about it.
That wasn't just like a fever dream.
Yeah. That was a FIFA dream.
Big footballs were banned at my school because one of my mates kicked the ball at one of the teacher's face while she was drinking a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fucking funny. Sorry, Miss Farrell. So they banned the big balls, and then they gave us all these tiny fucking, like beach balls. And the principal did this speech where he talked about how Pele used to play with an apple. So if we had this ball, we should all be better than Pele. Just like, even as like 10-year-olds, we were calling bullshit.
Yeah, it's like that. No part of that seems accurate.
Yeah.
God.
Ooh, somebody's building something over there.
Yeah, giant dirt mounds.
The real construction's going on underground. Biggest meth lab you've ever seen. bit.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Like, I want to take a nice nap.
You want some of that Code Red? Like some Cure What Ails You?
Yeah, I think might have to dip into the stash here now that this is nice and room temperature.
Well, apparently there was some shit going down after the Russia England game.
Like actual.
Yeah, some late 90s.
Some nice proper soccer violence.
Some proper hooliganism.
Russian hooligans in balaclavas attacking England fans. Jesus.
Fun. Yeah, first they come in second at Eurovision, and then now this. Yeah. Russia's mad.
Jesus, party was really bad, actually.
Really?
Seem like they're going around starting a lot of shit.
Yeah.
They seem like they're doing the political equivalent of fucking putting their finger in someone's face and goes, I'm not touching you. Is this bothering you? I'm not touching you. I don't know why it's bothering you. It's when they move like two steps forward to, hey, stop hitting yourself, that we have a real problem.
Yeah. I'm not touching your ear. I've just annexed it. We're now in the actual agricultural thick of it here. Some stuffed animals hung up on a barbed wire fence there a second ago.
Was there really?
There's some environmental storytelling for you.
Yeah.
Ah, Bud and Will McKittrick.
Ah, yes.
The good shit.
What the fuck is that?
My good friend, Bud and Will McKittrick. It's two places.
Yeah, it's two different cities. Right. But we have decided that there is a person named Button Willow McKittrick.
If you take this exit, he's just there in his fancy suit.
Sold his soul to the devil.
Wants to ask you questions about his rival, Lemur Hanford.
Hanging out on 7th Standard Road.
This is depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might want to be just enough cars up there. I was going to say, I might want to make like that truck and pass these fuckers on the right, but it seems like there's just enough cars up here to...
Yeah, I don't think that's actually going to get you very far.
Yeah, never does. I had been doing about 95, and now we're down to, well, now 65.
That's not enough.
No.
We're going to have to go faster.
Yeah, these cars need to move. We have to get to this truck wash.
My truck is so dirty.
Oh yeah, just get in front of me, that's fine.
Jesus.
Yeah.
This is a good place for you. You did it.
Jetta coming through!
You think Ken Levine's game will turn up here?
I was wondering about
that. I don't think that's a game yet.
No?
No. Especially with him going off to do this stuff with Interlude for a while, I have a feeling that that thing is still a Wetworks studio and not much else yet.
What was Interlude?
Interlude is that company that is making interactive video that he is going to produce a Twilight Zone reboot for. Which I think he'll be directing that. But yeah, so... I mean, he's still at 2K and he's still working on that thing, but like he has this other side project that he's doing too.
Good for him. I remember talking to him before Infinite came out about kind of, you know, what he might want to, you know, just it seemed like he wanted to maybe do things at a different scale and a different pace.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm sure there are
a shame.
A lot of people that lost their job along the way.
Yeah, it's just kind of a shame that Irrational had to be gutted in that process,
that's obviously bad, but it just seems like that probably would have happened regardless.
Yeah, I mean, the axes were already starting to fall around the Boston dev scene at that point. Like,
yeah.
It's just that Irrational was one of the only big ones left at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think they were too shy about, like, feeling that Infinite didn't necessarily do the numbers. numbers that 2K wanted out of it, right?
They wanted crazy numbers for that game.
Like, the numbers they wanted were probably not realistic. And I like that game. A lot of people shit all over it, and a lot of people have turned their back on it in the years since. I get why people would have a problem with it, but...
There are aspects of that game that I don't like at all, but there are aspects of that game I like a whole bunch.
Yeah. I think that game gets kind of a bad rap. Like, you know, the people that kind of talk shit about the way the story kind of doesn't really have any genuine choice and all that sort of stuff. Like, I get it, but also...
I think it was a game I was like, it's like ripe for nitpicking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Ripe for it kind of invites it.
Whatever. Yeah.
And...
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was magnificent already.
I never really liked the combat in that game, in comparison to just about everything else. Like, I really wish there had been a little bit more of the world exploration stuff and a little less of the shooting stuff, because the shooting in that game was not actually very good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I felt like it was a pretty big step up from Bioshock, which I didn't really like the combat in Bioshock very much.
Yeah. But Bioshock had that novelty to it, because, like, there just kind of wasn't anything that felt like that at that time that I can recall.
I mean, yeah, like, the System Shock stuff.
Well, yeah, and I'm just saying, like...
Kind of a different thing. Kind of a different thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. That's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you could definitely nitpick it and say, like, oh, you know, it needed to have way more meaningful story choices, stuff like that. And, like, I more or less agree. But at the same time, I thought what it presented was pretty right on.
Yeah.
And in line with where I think a lot of the industry is at, you know, it's in terms of quality of storytelling in video games. Like,
yeah.
At some point when you get over a certain budget, you've got to...
Yeah.
That stuff never quite comes together, you know. Smaller game that just chooses story as, like, the thing it's going to get right.
Right.
And, you know, obviously that's gonna...
Yeah, I'm definitely curious to see what his next thing actually turns out to be, like, what that studio puts together.
Is this where we should get off, or is there... There's more up ahead, right? This isn't the last stop for Greatwood.
I don't think it is. I think there's one more, and it's, like, right at the foot of it.
Yeah. We'll go there.
I mean, if not, there are gas stations along the Grapevine.
This exit does not. This exit does
doesn't
not
feel right. There's more stuff on that side,
right,
on the last one.
Right. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Because we still got 80 miles of gas. So.
Kellevin strikes me as the type of person who I'm, like, really delighted is, like, video games, but I would, like, hate to work for.
Yeah. I have heard some news about what it is like to work for him.
Sure.
It's intensely frustrating, but. You know, I mean, I that's a small sample size. I don't actually know, like, how widespread that feeling is.
I feel like I've heard both sides of it. I've definitely heard some people that are just like, this is a really rough environment, and it was not a fun place to work. And I've had other people say, like, you know what, like, there are tough times, but, like, we always felt like we were doing important work.
And
all that sort of stuff. But
they had a real... pretty solid collection of talent in that studio. Like, there was a good variety of very talented people that worked there.
And they made great games.
Yeah.
And you'll occasionally see, like, you know, I don't know to read into it, but you'll see Ken Levine kind of just lay into somebody on Twitter occasionally.
Yeah.
Mm. Or like, get really mad at people. Like, there was the last thing I saw was someone made some goof about environmental storytelling and saying, like, you know, like, environmental storytelling is like, it was like, I forget what the exact joke was, but it was like, it's a picture of a skull in a toilet.
Yes.
And then...
Which, hey, that's a good goof.
Yeah, but then, like, he responded to that in this, like, very, like, oh, so, fuck me, right? Like, yeah. Like, it was like, well, wait a minute, what, did you...
First off, you weren't tagged in this originally.
Did you put a skull in a toilet? Like, what, maybe, was it a more direct reference than I was understanding? But it was one of those things where it's like,
I don't know that you need to get in this fight.
He does seem to occasionally pick very strange battles.
But
he's no Cliff Lizinski when it comes to that.
Yes, obviously the high watermark for online discourse.
I want a filter that gets rid of all of Cliffy B's random arguments with random Twitter people and replaces them with pictures of Dog Huge. Twitter continues to be weird.
Yeah. No, it is not... The overall tone and tenor of that social media network has not improved in recent years.
I'd say it's gotten way better since I've started paying way less attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's maybe the ideal way to experience Twitter is as little as possible.
Like, all right, I'm going to look in on this and see what the people I know are saying. Okay. Cool. I'm going to post something dumb here and then go about my business.
Hotter in this part of California than the last part of California.
Yes.
Yeah, we were up to 95 degrees there for a little bit. It's 91 now.
It's 91, sun.
Yeah.
Yes, the central and southern parts of California generally run a little hot.
There's a sign back there that said, no water, no jobs.
Yes.
It's fucking depressing.
There is a real palpable desperation around the current agricultural market in California, because, you know, this is not land that is really meant for agriculture on the scale that it currently exists at.
And then you have a bunch of people growing things out here, and those take a lot of water.
Yep. Right?
And then you have a lot of theories about, like, well, actually, there's plenty of water. It's just all getting dumped into all this agriculture. Mm-hmm. They're taking the people's water.
Can't drink nuts, Jeff.
No, I have almond milk.
Oh, yeah. That totally, is a thing.
Yeah. I bet that's another great, efficient thing to have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, cows probably ain't too good either.
Yeah, I guess.
They are not cheap animals to raise and, you know, produce.
They are in Ireland. There's fucking grass everywhere.
Yeah.
No one doing anything with it.
Every once in a while, one of them just slips off one of those cliffs, and everyone's just like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah. So you can get it back.
Yeah.
Damp.
Wet cow disease, I think they call it.
Oh man, those were fun years.
I bet.
Yep. Fucking mats covered in chlorine on the entrance to every public building for about 3 years.
Ugh.
Like, I'm pretty sure this stuff sticks to clothes as well as the bottom of your feet. Really?
I want to say when I was over there in 2001, like, that was in that chunk of time, maybe? Probably. But maybe not. Anyway, I remember going to the Burger King and the food, the hamburger being low quality.
Oh, really?
Which is not to say that America's are necessarily that high quality overall, but...
But still.
Yeah, I had a buddy whose family had 200 cattle and they all got slaughtered. Just have to fucking purge a lot of
them. Yeah, it's like, here's your whole business, by the way, now done.
Yeah, my uncle was, he's in livestock now, but back then it was milk. But they got away with it, they didn't have anything on theirs.
Mm-hmm.
People were shitting themselves. It was everywhere.
And is it pretty much done now? There's no more of it.
Yeah, none. I mean, it comes in waves. It's like they haven't, like, eradicated it or anything. But, like, that outbreak was particularly, like, that was a really, really, like, bad outbreak. So it still exists, and you get pockets of it in the world. But, yeah, they stopped it then. But they had to, like, basically murder a shit ton of cattle to do it. Isolate them and be, like, real rigid about it. But the farming community was, like, kind of on top of it because they all knew...
Yeah.
That they needed to do it, and the governments were subsidizing the cattle as well, so they were basically killing the cattle, paying the farmers, and then not, like, reporting it, because they didn't want anyone to know, so, like, nobody really knew, except the people who lived around. Yeah, it was mental.
Well, now we've got that bacteria that is resistant to all antibiotics, so, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's some case of that in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's not that Zika thing.
No, no, that's something else.
No, that's something, yes. That, no, that's something else.
Oh, that's something, oh, okay.
Something else that's currently affecting the part of the world where the Olympics are going to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then everything is getting recalled because it all has Listeria on it now. Also.
What's Listeria?
Some kind of...
Why am I asking you this? Why are you telling me these things?
Here it's, yeah, no, it is some kind of disease, some kind of bacteria, some kind of salmonella-esque.
Okay.
Like, thing.
It's not good.
It was on a bunch of ice cream some years ago, and they had to recall a bunch of that. And recently it was like Clif Bars and stuff like that. But like, I just feel like every time I turn around, there's another, I'm going to get off here.
Yeah.
Hysteria.
Yeah. Wait, no, this is the racetrack. I don't actually want to get off here.
It's the one after this.
Yeah. I can get in there. I've got a NASCAR shirt.
Okay.
I'll say I'm with Jimmy Johns.
Wait, how long has this racetrack been here?
I don't know.
Totally. This wasn't always here.
It was here last time I did this drive.
Okay.
Maybe they made it nice. Maybe it was always here, but they actually, like, rebuilt parts of it. A little work into it, I'm not sure.
A little.
Just little. Yeah.
Dash.
As much as it deserves. And it's the thing you always wonder about game developers, though. Just get back to that. Like, you hear stories about, you know, some people that are tough to work for and stuff like that, but being the press, everyone is always super nice to when we're talking to them. And I've had a guy like Ken Levine. I've had no negative reactions with that dude. He's always been he's always been good.
Yeah, he's always been nice in the interactions I've had with him.
Yeah.
There's that element of like sometimes when you're making that type of like art, you need somebody gonna fucking push you further than you push yourself, right? Like that's like a dangerous thing as well, because then you're like basically saying it's okay for people to be, you know.
Yeah.
Be shitty to their employers, but then also, like, some of the best managers I've had are the ones that, like, didn't allow me to be complacent and let a fire under my arse and made me get better, you know?
Yeah, it's a fine line, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you go too far in one direction, then it's just, all of a sudden, it's mandatory crunch, basically, right?
Yep.
Which, obviously, it's an industry that already has that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the gas station we've been to before.
Yeah, let's get off here. Next gas, 25 miles. All right, let's take this one.
There is a bigger one further up.
You're right, there is.
But this one will do.
And I could use, I could stand to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I could also stand to do that.
Amen. I was trying not to think about it for the past hour. For a second there, I thought that truck ahead was just tailgating the shit out of it.
Yeah, I was like, man, this gets really good. Like, oh, wait, no, that... That Jeep is just hitched to this RV.
There was a damn RV parked in my neighborhood for like a month.
Oh, really?
It was the weirdest thing. Like, you don't see vehicles that large ever in Queens, really. And the fact that it managed to park there for that long without just getting like a million tickets just baffled me.
Were they dealing out of it?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. It all just felt very wrong.
Liquor.
I know a guy that was apparently... I heard this story. You know, secondhand, third hand or something. But South Edo's Lane. He was dealing out of an RV across the street from the police station.
That's funny.
Because the thinking, of course, being like, they would never...
The last place so anyone would look.
Yeah, and that was literally his thought process on the whole thing.
I bet that worked out real well.
Is he in jail there?
Out of order. We can't use this one. God damn. Only. All these pumps are broken. No fucking gas. Kitchen for rent?
Prince Palace.
Keypad broken, please come inside.
This one says cash only.
Maybe we should just go inside.
I'm gonna try the other pumps on the other.
Okay.
This guy thinks we're fucking scoping him out or something.
Yeah, we're here looking to start some shit.
Yeah. Just doing donuts in this gas station parking lot till someone wants to fucking go.
I think this one's okay.
But with the one in front of it, I should always pull the forward pump, right?
Yeah, both seem to be fine.
Okay. Better hope this is. Pesos only.
Shit.
That's good. Oh, I gotta pee so bad.
Same.
Yeah.
Alright, everyone, we're gonna...
Oh, it's so hot.
Everyone... Oh.
I need sunglasses. My retinas.
No, I hate this.
Oh,
shit.
Well, my pale skin is getting burnt off.
Wish me luck, everybody. We'll be back.
Oh, this sucks. You want anything inside? You gotta come in.
No, I'm gonna come in.
flies everywhere.
Yeah. Lots of flies as well.
Tastes like shampoo too.
That's nice water. This tastes like water.
Oh, whoops.
Careful now.
Is that a flavored Voss water?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know they made that.
Tangerine lemongrass.
Lemongrass?
Also known as orange. You want some?
You know...
Makes you feel like a rich motherfucker.
Yes.
Drinking out of a goddamn...
Yeah, it tastes like an orange.
Glass, right? Yeah. It's not even that fizzy. It's the one thing I wanted was the fizz. I give it 2 Gerstmans out of 5.
Good to know. Get that review up on Jeff.zone.
Jeff.zone's pretty good. I mean, it's no F1.cool, but...
Yeah, well.
What are you gonna do? Apparently there's a leak of a Ubisoft Star Trek VR game.
Oh.
I guess they have those 2 other VR games that they're working on. What is it? The Eagle Flight and there's another one.
Trackmania is supposed to be VR point.
Ubisoft announced 4-player co-op Star Trek VR game. Okay, so that sounds a bit like Space Team or something. One player is captain, the other are tactical, engineering, and helm.
Oh, wow. Huh. Left turn
onto leak over at Digital South. Spy. Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Oh, that would be the thing, right? Bridge Commander, but in VR.
It's in the Abrams Star Trek universe.
Sure, alright. I'll explain how they got the license.
Right. Red Storm are working on it, apparently.
That could be good. I could be into that. I like to be some Bridge Commander.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, right?
Like, you know, manning a tactical station and all that. Yeah, that... You know, it does the thing of, like, a Pac-Man versus or something where, like, no one player has, like, the same information or something like that. Except for the captain who has to just give the orders to the tactical people. Like,
the game will have story missions as well as randomly generated ones. Don't just focus on ship-to-ship combat, but also exploration. Due out this fall on Rift and Vive.
Alright.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I wonder, presumably, by co-op, they mean online co-op? Not in the same
No, you hook 4 Vives up to...
Let's go to your local Vive mansion.
Oh yes, the local Vivatorium.
Go to the bathroom, get some gas, I feel worlds better now.
Yeah. Only 100 miles, baby.
Is that the grapevine ahead of us?
Yep.
Second year after a console comes out, if there's enough decent games,
on that thing. Doesn't that also, like, make it a much more...
As long as there's enough volume of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So if Sony are going to spend all this time, apparently, showing off VR games, as it sounds, and even, like, Ubisoft, that'll be their... I forget what the sec the other one is, but I know there's two other VR games, so that's, like, three ones that even they're going to be showing off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe this time, 5 months' time, we've got, like, this, like, decent library.
Decent clump of software.
It just, it'd be nice, it would, I think it would calm everybody down to see some of the traditional video game publishers getting right. into this yes. stuff. Like, Ubisoft getting in matters, you know, because they're a company that gets in on everything on the ground floor, so, you know, they were those with, you know, fucking Red Steel and all that shit on the Wii, Zombie U, right, like, course, yeah. you know, they're the publisher that is... made pretty good money yeah. by just being there when new technology is available. So, you know, take that how you will, whether it's just them being opportunistic or...
I mean, it's definitely them being opportunistic, yeah. but, like, that had, on occasion, that has provided yeah. decent stuff.
Jesper in his fucking face. Prick.
I was looking through games to buy on the Vita. And I was looking at, like, classic games I hadn't really played. Or, like, maybe not classic, but just older games. Yeah, I've never actually played The Warriors. Is it any good?
It is. I mean, I don't know yeah. if it fully holds up, but, like, at the time, it was pretty rad.
Yeah. Alright.
It's a solid beat-em-up.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
It was, like, relatively different from the other stuff they had been making around that time. It wasn't
yeah.
just purely, it's not just like GTA with a 70s New York skin on it or something.
Yeah, it wasn't really open world. It was pretty... It had some
yeah,
areas,
it was
but...
tighter, yeah.
yeah. But it was much more about, like, the hand-to-hand combat stuff than anything else.
Right.
The only thing that was super disconcerting about that game was that they got most of the original voice cast, and those dudes could not have sounded their age more...
Oh, you're kidding, really?
...while voicing these characters who were, you know, ostensibly in their
20s. That's nuts. Are there any famous... I've never seen that movie, either.
Oh, the movie's amazing.
Right. I've seen that one scene where they've got the Voss bottles on their fingers.
Yes.
That's in the gritty reboot set in Silicon Valley. Voss bottles on their fingers.
There was talk at one point that they were going to do a remake of The Warriors. I want to say it was, like, Tony Scott that was, like, working on it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. They wanted to set it in L.A. and make it, like, you know, gritty gang warfare in semi-post-apocalyptic L.A.
So Escape from L.A.
Well, yeah, minus the prison colony aspect of it, but yeah.
Would there be a cool basketball scene?
Maybe.
Where was the first part you said? New York?
Yeah.
And that movie is really, like, one of my favorite things about it is that it is basically structured and paced like a video game.
Yeah.
Like, they have to walk across New York in pretty much a straight line.
And you run into different gangs and
yeah.
bosses along the way.
Yeah. Streets of Rage, basically.
Basically, yeah. Cows. It's a lot of cows.
Big fat twins. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Time to get into this loaded cherry NOS.
Nice.
Time to get loaded.
Always. Ah, tastes like cough syrup.
Mmm, that's how you know it's good.
It's just full of Robitussin.
Alright, well, drive's gonna get weird. Drank 2 bottles of Robitussin. Threw up all over everything.
I'm
was thinking of Bite of Five.
Me too.
That's kind of the one I was leaning toward. If I'm okay, so the first one I'm probably going to end up with is PlayStation VR, yeah, because that's just what's reasonable for what I have. But if I were going to go the PC VR route, I would probably go Vive at this point.
Yep.
You're shipping them in like 3 days now, right?
Yeah.
Is that 800?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the only way to buy it, right? It's like 800, right?
Yeah.
You get the controllers, you get the...
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, I've got like a spot in my house that I could envision putting that stuff.
And you own an Oculus, right?
I do, yeah.
Like one of you, like retail Oculus.
Yeah.
And even then, you think you'd want to buy a Vive?
Yeah. I mean, I got that Oculus as a Kickstarter backer of the Rift, I didn't actually have to pay for it. If I had bought a Rift and spent that money already, it would be a different story. Right? Not be going like, let's spend another $800.
How much did you buy in on the Kickstarter?
It was like $100. I don't know. Really? Yeah, it was not that.
It was like one or two, I think, was kind of the tier for it.
Wow. That's smart. I mean, you'd have to wait like 4 years or whatever.
Well, I mean, I got the first dev kit, like that DK1 Rift. Like,
yeah, that was the one I
was
fucking around with.
That was what you were backing, was that thing.
Yeah.
And so I got that, and we used it once or twice, and was like, oh, this is really clever, but a total hassle to set up, and you can envision this getting a lot better very soon. And so I didn't ever really spend that much time with it.
They sent you two of them?
I mean, they sent me that dev kit, the DK1.
Right.
And then, like, right when they were getting ready to open pre-orders for the consumer Rift, they announced that anyone that backed them back then, before Facebook bought them, before all the money, was going to get a consumer Rift for free.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That was pretty
cool. And, you know, they got a lot of shit when they sold to Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of people that were like, I kickstarted this... because I wanted to see it happen independently, and you guys are all this really kind of crazy stuff.
Like, I understand where that comes from. I understand that mentality of, like, you know, you feel like you're a part of this thing, and you want to see it, you know, blossom away from the interests of, you know, a larger parent company. But at the same time, knowing what I know about manufacturing and the costs associated with that, there was no amount of independent funding from the people was going to make that happen. Was going to will that into existence.
Even at the scale that they hit, which was, you know, like, they fucked up their launch pretty bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and that's, like, with Facebook money.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine without taking any outside investment, like, what that thing would have looked like.
Like, what kind of numbers they would have been looking at in terms of units they could fulfill.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but a lot of people were rubbed the wrong way by that. It didn't really bother me very much. It just seemed like, okay, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Those guys got paid. They built this really cool fucking thing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then Valve did their thing that is, like, kind of better in a lot of ways. It's on par in a lot of ways, too.
But yeah.
Like,
I mean, it doesn't help that the Oculus touch controller stuff isn't ready yet.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if this whole Microsoft Oculus partnership thing does appear. I mean, what sort of form that takes as well.
Yeah, because, like, you know, what, how do they, or do they price match with Sony? Like, do they figure out a way to sell you a console and a Rift at a price that matches what Sony will be selling PlayStation VRs at? Or...
I mean, my guess is what they'll do is they'll try and find a way to come in only slightly over, and they'll sell it as, this is the real VR experience.
Right, yeah.
But if they...
They'll sell it as that.
Yeah, but if they make any cuts to the Rift headset...
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Then, basically, if they do this and the Rift that I own right now is not compatible with that,
that's a mistake.
Then they are fucking up.
Yes.
So,
they need to bring in both the currently established audience and a whole bunch of new people.
And that Rift is $600.
Yeah.
So,
how are they going to do that?
Yeah. I mean, maybe by the time Microsoft gets, you know,
whatever these Scorpio boxes are out there, that, you know, maybe Oculus will be onto a second rev, and so they'll find a way to make it cheaper. You know, there's like all sorts of stuff that could happen between now and then, I guess. But
the new one,
I just don't
cheaper
know.
One maybe if they're going to have another one.
Yeah, if they're cutting corners, then what happens there? Or, you know, or even worse, if they're making a better headset, what about all the people that bought the first one? Do they feel burned? How long do you need to wait to ship a second consumer Rift?
Yeah.
That's, like, better, like a second gen or something?
Yeah.
Is it 1 year? Is it two? Like, there's a lot of stuff that I don't think anyone's... Maybe they figured it out, but I just don't know.
I think maybe it's more important for them to just get the price down on what they have already than it is to start shipping new tech.
But are they manufacturing at enough scale to actually be able to cut the price? I mean, Microsoft wanting to bundle a bunch of them would certainly help, but at some point, like, the you know, supply chain issues and all that other stuff are just kind of real problems that have, in a lot of cases, very real answers already. You know, it's just like, okay, well, if we're doing this, we can only make this money and we're forced to charge this, because that's just how much all this shit costs.
Right.
Unless they want to take a huge loss on it, which I doubt that Oculus would want to do that, and I don't know that Microsoft could afford to do that. Or that that's something they would want to put into their Xbox business right now.
Right.
The plane is flying real close to the ground over there.
Yeah, it is. Over there.
The crop dusting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I saw it just crash, and then it, like, came back up again.
It looks more like a glider than it does, like, a full-on plane.
Ultralight or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, look at that shit.
Oh, there it is. I was like, what? I don't even see the fucking... What you talking about?
There it is.
Coming up, turning around. That's probably kind of fun. Actually, I bet it's super boring, because that person's probably done that so many times.
Yeah.
Chasing rabbits out of the forest.
Oh, the grapevine is so close.
Yep, we can see the hill. The hill that we will climb. Vegan Indian place that I was talking about is somewhere around here. Maybe it was further back.
Yeah.
No.
I know the restaurant you're talking about. I've seen that sign. Yeah. I just don't remember where it is.
There's a sizable tower right here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's a cell tower or some kind of communications thing?
It's definitely some kind of communications tower. I don't know what, though.
A silo around here somewhere. That's the tower.
That's probably several of them.
None of these crops are actually crops.
Yeah.
I have a dream of living in, like, rural California. Not this, but, like, I don't know.
Like, Eastern California?
Like north of Petaluma.
Oh, like Ukiah.
Redding.
Like Mendocino, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
So you're saying you want to get into the weed business. So that's what I'm hearing.
Or meth. One of the two.
Yeah. I want to live in Willits.
Forestville.
I've been to Willits. They have a light-up suit shop.
Of course
shop
they do.
That sells light-up suits. That's not a front at all.
I don't know. I kind of want to go there and get a light-up suit, right, now that you mention it.
But I have this dream, but the one thing that freaks me out is not having fast internet. Is that like a...
I mean, if you're anywhere near a town at this point.
I was
going
to say, Willits is probably close enough to, like, it's civilization enough that I bet you could do okay.
Like, most of Sonoma is probably all right.
Yeah.
What am I getting? I have Comcast. I just get, like, I'm getting, like, 120 megabits down or something.
Same
150
as I'm on,
or something.
Same package.
Blast 150 or whatever.
Yeah. The one that doubles in price after a year, right?
Extreme one. No, I didn't go for any of their weird bundles or anything, because I didn't want TV or phone.
Yeah, either. Same here, actually.
I pay straight up like $90 for internet a month.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm paying that or like $110 or something like that. But there's a package that's like $140 that seems
the freeway is on the right.
Like faster than the package I have, and it's not that much more money than what I'm paying. And they don't offer the package I have anymore from the looks of it.
Right.
And so I'm looking at it going like, well, wait, am I supposed to move to this? Like, is there a downside to me moving to this? It's a little bit more money, but the speed seems good. I could use more speed. We could always use more speed.
The freeway is on the right.
I found myself looking at, like, broadband penetration maps last week. Mm. Like, county by county.
I have the beautiful situation in New York of being on the lesser carrier of both cable television and internet. And it's great because their service is solid enough, and they are so desperate to keep customers.
Oh, really?
They will kind of bend over backwards every which way just to make sure you are happy. So they gave me like 2 years free when I upgraded to the, well, not free, but like no additional cost for like the big bandwidth upgrade. And yeah, at one point, I had groused about their service. Like, well, what if we gave you HBO for free for 6 months? I was like, all right, sure. Yeah. Okay.
When I canceled DirecTV, there was, like, some amount of that.
God. I used to work in one of those departments.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's like retention.
Yeah. I worked in billing, but every once in a while, there'd be overflow. We need to go over to retention.
Yeah.
Start taking retention calls, you're like, fuck, no.
It's like, here it is, moment of truth, it's on.
Yeah,
can you keep this person?
I never give a fuck.
No, right. It's just like, yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Tell me you're moving country, it's the magic word. There's nothing on the form for that.
Ah, the outlets.
Yes, this was the stop I was thinking.
Yes,
the outlets in Tehran.
Where's this Indian place? Is that here?
Could be over there on that side.
No, I think we passed it. This is all relatively new. Like, these outlets, I think, opened like last year or maybe the year before. No, last year. It would have been... No, it was the year before, actually.
God, that's so weird. Just to open up a mall or like an outlet thing.
Yeah, just in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I mean, this is a well-traveled area. I will say that. And it's also kind of like the last place to go before you get stuck going over the grapevine. So if you're going to put an outlet mall somewhere along here, I guess this would be it. Go to H&M.
Like, I kind of want to go and see what they fucking have.
Yeah. Factory Seconds. That's what they have.
Calvin Klein.
They got a Nike store. They've got a Michael Kors. I can get myself a nice bag.
Why do they have this, like, vaguely Turkish domes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird look.
There are some outlets that get, like, a lot of international tourism going there.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Like, America's got, like, very cheap clothing and shoes and, like, electronics.
Oh, yeah, I had a friend who had family in Korea, and what he would do was go back a couple times a year or whatever, just bring a bunch of blue jeans and sell them at a fairly significant markup.
All the Springsteen fans in Korea.
Yeah.
Like the boss.
I mean, can you blame them?
Yeah.
Like baseball caps. You guys would have like real good caps that you wouldn't be in Europe. And it would be cheaper as well. Like glasses. Especially when the like exchange rate's favorable as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
My brother came back from the States with like a bunch of different like pairs of shoes and stuff for everyone.
How I did Tokyo all those years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, you just kept a bunch of stuff to sell?
No, I kept it all.
You did come back with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I had a set of suitcases that one would fit in the other.
Right, yeah.
And so I got the biggest size one and put all my clothes in the next biggest one and packed that going over. And then filled up the biggest one with Neo Geo games and Optimus Prime
and airsoft guns
and all this fucking other shit.
You fly with airsoft guns like loose in a bag?
No, they were in the box that we bought them in and stuff. So you could look at it and go like, oh well, this is definitely not a real gun.
Are they legal here?
No.
Yes.
Well,
which
but only if the tips are painted orange.
Right, yes.
And all that sort of stuff. So
you have to pre-tip them, or?
You know, they just didn't look in the back. Like, it, yeah. They used to, this was pre-9/11.
Yes.
I should point out.
Makes more sense.
There's a very different vibe back then.
So they would check the bags in Japan, and they would never check them on the U.S. side.
Japan was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and we called. The first time we bought airsoft guns, we had to think about it. We're like, okay, how do we actually get these things back now that we've bought these fucking very realistic-looking fake guns? and Ryan McDonald called, like, the government.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the story with these? And they're like, well, if it's a replica, it's fine. If it's a toy, it needs to be painted orange.
Right.
And so it was in this hazy thing where, like, the thought was that depending on what lane you got, the person might say, oh, that's a replica, or oh, that's a toy, and might go one way or the other on it. So we decided to risk it. Originally, we thought about shipping them back.
Yeah.
That's what I did when I was in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I bought a couple, and I realized there was absolutely no way in a post-9/11 world that I was going to be able to put those in a suitcase. So we shipped them, and I needed to... I had to designate, like, they're like, what are these? And I was like, toys? They're like, what kind of toys? And I kind of looked at the box, looked at the side, and I was like, skateboards. And they were like, okay.
Good call.
Yeah.
It worked out.
They arrived, okay.
Now I have these airsoft guns, and I have never really used them.
Yeah, because what the fuck are you going to do, walk around New York with them?
No.
You want to fucking rob a bodega.
Yeah, with a military-grade assault rifle, I'm gonna fucking rob a bodega.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Congratulations on getting to the great place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we are.
It's been a long road.
I was in Birmingham Airport years ago, and they had, like, these big Perspex boxes in... I guess the security area or something, or maybe boarding, and they were full of, like, confiscated knives and weapons and all that. And some of the shit in there was just, like, fucking ridiculous. Like, massive, like, bow knives and nunchucks.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck are people doing?
Yeah. Like, I can see thinking you're gonna get away with that if you put it in a checked bag.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
But the idea that you're gonna get that through fucking TSA security...
Just trying to get these nunchucks on a plane in case someone tries to take it. I want to be ready.
I'm here to assist the air marshals in any capacity.
Do you see the weapon that the protagonist in Watch Dogs 2 uses?
No.
Yeah, it's basically like a fucking 8-ball in a sock.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right.
It's an 8-ball on a string. Bloody fucking flies, right?
Great. That's fucking awesome.
I hope, this might be some awful PR spin, but... The story that they had on, like, the video doc bit was that, like, the Ubisoft game designer guy looked up, like, homebrew melee weapons, and one of the first things that came up was
that
ball on a string.
So how many, and who wants to take odds on when review copies of that going out, will there be an 8-ball on a string that comes with it?
Yeah, 10 years ago, my answer would have been 100% yes.
Yeah, nowadays, maybe not so much.
No, that's...
What if it's just like a plastic magic 8-ball with a string attached to it?
Yeah.
What if it's, or maybe it's not attached. It's just the string and the 8-ball. Like, you
and
know
a drill.
What to do.
It's a drill. Figure it out, son.
Hack the planet.
Get in nice. See, I would want something more substantial than just like a string or a thin rope that you can put through an 8-ball. I'd probably want a chain.
Yeah.
Love me a good chain.
I once had someone throw a tennis ball at me from a third-story window.
That seems like it would not feel great.
Yeah, I went to kick one, like with some sort of righteous indignation at the act of them throwing them in, because they threw a couple. And I kicked it and it like hit my, like the ball on my ankle and the little sticks out there.
Yeah.
And then I walked away and I got about 50 yards down the road and was like, nope, can't walk on this anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Fucking flared up really big.
I
a fine nice day. But it was like, no.
I would not have expected that from just yeah. three stories.
Well, imagine it was being thrown from three stories. That was just dropping.
Yeah.
So there's extra velocity on top of that.
Yeah, all right.
And if it hit me, like, anywhere else, it probably would have been fine, but it hit, like, right on that little bone that sticks out. It's, like, the worst possible spot.
I'm surprised they could hit you from that distance.
Yeah, well, I was trying to kick it.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of, it was, like, them throwing it in my general area, and then me, like, basically missing it, hitting the side of the hill.
Who were these miscreants? Why were they doing it?
They were a bunch of travelers, so, like, gypsies, basically, are in Ireland. They've broken into this building. Just thrown, I don't know, there must have been golf balls in there for some reason. You know it's a golf ball, like the sound of it hitting the road.
Yep,
like
yeah.
You can just imagine it right now.
That is a distinct sound.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing? There's cars on this road. You're like, alright. Eat this, jerk.
Yeah, when we were hitting a lot of golf balls into the field near in our trash house.
Did you aim at televisions and stuff?
Yeah. Well, we were aiming at the windows of the abandoned houses across this dirt road.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's a real paper street shit.
That was the Northern California equivalent of Tyler Durden House, for sure.
Yeah, we were... Yeah.
They had completely, you know, excised worldly goods, but, you know, beyond that, there was a under the house area that was pretty much just stuff full of garbage.
Nice.
Yes. People still live in that house. That's very
shocking.
That's very scary.
Wow,
really?
Yeah.
They had a dog. We drove up the driveway a year or two later to see, you know, just look at the house. And a family walked out of the house with a dog. And I felt super bad because there's just so much broken glass everywhere around that house that just having a barefoot dog walking around just seems like the worst idea.
Like a family with children?
Yeah. And the crawl space under the house was just stuffed full of garbage. Just stuffed.
So you would hope someone might have cleaned that out before someone else moved in, but there's no way of knowing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Someone glued and nailed the crawl space shut, so I don't know.
Good point. Again.
Yeah. It's a mystery. It's lost to time. Yeah, that's, you know, that was a good time.
Gotta have those dirtbag ears.
Yeah.
Get a better system.
It was an amazing time to be alive. Towards the end, when we started breaking all the bottles that we had been saving up over the years, is when things really kind of went off the rails. That's why I felt bad about them having a dog. It's like, you know, we were throwing that stuff away generally, but there was just such a quantity of broken glass that it just, there's no way to get it all. Ever. I still wouldn't walk around that area barefoot. And it's been 10 years.
Yep. I mean, it wasn't really good even before you got there.
Yeah, it was not great.
Remember that time the cops busted in there looking for a dude that was in the other house?
Yeah. I was playing Burnout. Real loud. Such that a cop could get all the way into my bedroom and draw a gun on me.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. What was that like?
It was, surreal. It's like, see some movement out of the corner of your eye. I had a home theater system. We live in the middle of fucking nowhere. So I've got that thing just turned all the fucking way up.
And you got roommates, so you're not necessarily surprised at the notion of someone else showing up there.
Yeah, so just like, I see movement out of the corner of my eye, I'm just like, all right, well, whatever. And they're just watching me play Burnout, and I'm playing Burnout, so I'm very focused on it.
Do you have headphones on?
No, the home theater is just fucking good. and I hear some yelling, and finally I kind of pause the game and turn over and go like, that's a cop with his gun out. Oh, hello.
Shit, son.
And there were multiple cops in the house. It was fucking crazy.
How long until they got out?
They were there for like 15 minutes. Once they got a look at my roommate, who shared a name with the guy who lived in the other house, they're like, we're looking for drives a white car.
Wait, not the same surname.
No. Right.
I don't think they had that much information to go on.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It was some shit that, like, we probably could have actually, like, filed against them. And
yeah.
And we probably should have, but...
Was Chris from around the way a shady character?
Yeah, they were up to no fucking good over there. I don't know what they were doing. And then as they were getting out of our house, the guy they were looking for pulled into the driveway, so they popped him right there. It's real stupid.
So it worked out for everybody in the end.
Right, yeah, something like that. And that was, we had already basically made plans to move out of there at that point, so...
Just confirming your...
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Just one more story for the books.
We were kind of done. We were more or less done. And, like, one of the cops... Like, on the way out, one of the cops was like, I remember this place. I remember breaking up parties out here. And I was like, yeah, well, I just bought a house out of town, so we're going to have one more moving away. So, see you soon. And he was like, hey. Like, he actually, like, was trying to be all, like, copy about it. He's like, hey. I'm like,
whatever. Come on.
Fuck off. We got out of there before something truly bad happened to anyone.
I mean, that's...
I think. That's,
you could have filed that one under almost truly bad.
Yeah. And that's, like, at some point, that's one of many different bad situations. Or potentially bad situations. Like, a party got broken up and someone left their car behind. Like, sometimes when the cops would show up, people would just run into the field. And then, like, because they had warrants or priors or something.
Oh, right.
Some interesting crowds filtered into those parties that were not really part of our social circles.
Yeah, but, you know, like, we were
stolen in your house at parties?
Yeah, for sure.
That's the fucking worst.
Found a girl in my closet stealing my pocket change.
Right.
Sure. Right. It's like, what the fuck?
I do remember there was one time there was a car or something that got left behind.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah, so the car that got left behind that had the wad of cash and the pistol inside the motorcycle helmet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for a while we were trying to figure out what to do, and then the person who the car belonged to eventually just wandered up.
Like, right after we had gotten out of the car.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing that everyone got out of that car.
Yeah.
Like a day later or something?
It was like later that night.
Yeah.
Like cops showed up, everybody scattered. But there was still a car parked on our fucking front lawn.
I think it was blocking someone in or something, which is why we were trying to figure out what we could do with that car.
Whose car it was or something like that, yeah. I don't know if that was the same party or if it was a different party where someone overturned a car in the street.
One of your
guests. That was a different party.
Yeah, one of the,
Jesus Christ.
I don't remember why that happened.
The road was very, like, there was a very steep ditch. The road was curved off into this ditch. So a car had parked along it, and I didn't know any of the people involved, so I really don't know why any of that would have happened, other than, you know, people thought it would be cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're right. They're right, it was cool. It's fucked up. It's a fucked up thing to do to someone's car.
So you didn't know any of the people, the perpetrators or the victim?
No.
Not really.
It's fucking... These parties were...
Again, it's just people would find their way over there somehow.
Yeah, we were living with a guy who had just gotten out of high school.
Yeah.
And so, like, at this point, I was 30. Chris is probably 25, 26 or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds about right.
And Jack was 18.
I think he turned 18 not long after he moved there.
Yeah. So...
you know, I had my friends that would certainly come, and, you know, Chris and I shared a lot of friends and stuff just from being in bands and stuff like that. And then, you know, Jack would tell two people, and then suddenly 200 people would show up at that. Like, it was just out of fucking control.
Yeah.
Like, they would become high school parties.
Right, yeah.
And they certainly were not intended to be that, but fuck, man. I don't know, that was fun, though, because we had, you know, there was a bunch of instruments and shit set up, so, like, we would try to kind of, like, halfway play shows, or, you know,
people would just,
like,
fuck around,
yeah,
at least.
Just fuck around, and just fucking,
you know, at some
live band karaoke, or whatever the fuck you got.
Yeah, we do live band karaoke, then we would all retire out to the yard to break fluorescent light tubes over each other's backs, and, you know, like, just, you know, gentlemanly kind of stuff.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it seems fine. Still going.
I'm having a good time in there, chat.
Anything else leak? Anything else crazy happen?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet. I just checked Twitter about a half hour ago.
I'm having a sweat all the time. So many hearts. Too many hearts.
Never enough.
Liquid Color. Chris Harris. War Panda. Classic names.
I will say that for all the fucked up shit that happened at those parties, based on some of the things I have encountered and heard about from other high school age parties around that area, it could have gone much worse.
Oh yeah, we got off light, man.
Yeah.
Like, I still remember Christina grabbing the fucking GTA 3 branded bat from under my bed and running out and chasing people off.
Yes, I also remember this.
I think that was the one where I think she ended up making the call, but somebody, and we called the cops on our own party.
Yep. Because there was people who just refused to leave.
It was just real. Like, we had a chair. I think that was the party where we had a chair in the backyard. Like, a bunch of, you know, some chairs to just, you know, for whatever, like, back patio type shit. And there was a fight about to jump off, and a guy, to prove his fucking, like, that he was willing this to fucking go, just put his foot through one of the chairs. Just stomped through it and fucking turned to splinters. And then they started fighting. And then they started fighting, and then, like, one guy's crew fucking took off after the fact. And I remember one of them, on their way out, where they broke the gate on their way out as well, shouting, "Legacy Productions!"
Yeah, I remember that.